This week, Death Stranding news continues its slow trickle as the latest cast members have been announced, inadvertent as it may have been. Once the news is out, it's near impossible to take back, so let's press on with episode 720 of tonight's show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio for tonight, February the 25th, 2018, episode number 720 of our show. We are now an HD show. We are 720 episodes wide. There you go. Anyway, hi, I'm Rob Roberts, and you can, of course, hear me on the show every week talking about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle with my co-hosts over there, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
I was regaling the chat room about the time that was you, me, Chris, and Megzy staying at a hotel, and we decided to wake you up with loud lesbian porn, and you slept through it.
What a way to start the show. Okay, here's the thing, though. First off, I miss those two. I really do. Mm-hmm. They were a lot of fun to have on the show. They, for those that don't know, they moved far away. They moved to a faraway, distant land called Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
So, yeah, unfortunately, it's hard to get them on the show anymore. But here's the thing. I used to live right next to train tracks. When I went to school in Chico, California, I lived on this apartment complex that was right next to the railroad tracks.
Was it the wrong side or the right side?
One way to find out. So anyway, so the train would just come roaring through, and they blew the horn and everything. So like, I would have to sleep through that. So because of that, I sleep through a lot. But the one thing, so you can do whatever porny noises you want, it's not going to wake me up. But the one thing that does wake me up without fail, Mr. Smush snoring in my ear.
Yeah.
Go figure. And that's, Mr. Smush is the cat, if you weren't already aware. Also say hello, joining us every week, to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
How are you, Loki?
I'm good.
Good. Awesome. What'd you bring for the show tonight, for dinner, for the folks that like to play the OLR food betting game?
Oh, I just got tacos.
Tacos!
They're from a place called Cafe Rio that has barbacoa pork tacos.
So
they're like kind of like, I don't know, flavored and stuff. But their rice, like, that they make on the side, though, like, I don't know if they know how to cook rice, because it's just like, I don't know if it's actually cooked. It's very crunchy.
Oh, yeah. I don't like, no.
Sounds like it's reconstituted.
It's like, do you not know how to cook rice long enough?
Rice
too
is very
long?
Important in the Mexican
stuff. It's not my dinner.
I ate it anyways,
important.
But yeah.
What?
I'm kidding. No, I was like, is not my dinner equally important?
No, your dinner is important, but we were talking about lesbian porn.
Oh, yeah, that is true. I don't know. I could smell those tacos when I stepped into the room, and I was like, oh, my God. That smells amazing.
Let's go to the chat over at live.vognetwork.com, where, of course, we do tape live every Sunday night, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And you live chatters are here to help us through the show and offer your commentary, because it's not just about us here at OLR. It's about all the gamers, including those of you in chat and those of you on the Skype line a little later on at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. So I'm not alone in my loud noise stuff. Brad from Pod Culture in chat saying, I used to live on the Ohio River, used to have loud barges go through in the wee hours. Yikes. Can you imagine if like a party boat came through? Ooh. Let's see. Dr. Ken. Hi, Dr. Ken from Starboard Power Coupling. Shout out, says, grats OLR with a heart. Thank you. I didn't think anything was particularly notable about 720, but I guess that means we've gone around the sun twice, right? Is that what that means?
I reckon.
Close. No, because 365 would actually be 730. Math is not my strong suit.
Mathlete.
I'm just here on the podcast to look pretty. And SS200 Matt says, taco every day. I agree with that.
Tacos are good.
You don't have to wait for Tuesday for tacos. Absolutely not.
I didn't have enough time to get poke again, so.
That's the new trendy thing, huh? I don't.
It's like if you want sushi, but you don't want it in sushi form. That's, you just want it kind of just disassembled.
Poke to me is like sushi inside out.
Except that you can already get chirashi,
uh-huh,
which is basically sushi on top of sushi rice in a bowl.
Yo, dog, I heard you like sushi.
It's sashimi on the rice.
Okay, that's cool.
Delicious.
I don't dislike poke by any means. In fact, funny enough, when I had the PokeStop podcast show, like, there was a poke place that wanted to like work together, and so I got to try some of their poke, and it was really good. But I just, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like when I'm in the mood, I'm not a big fish person, but I will eat sushi. So if I get in the mood for sushi, I'm going to have sushi.
I've never had poke.
Not sushi in a bowl.
See, I don't really like sushi. I normally will have like, well, I guess it's sort of sushi. It's maguro, which is basically tuna draped over some rice.
Oh, sure.
So it's basically, you just chop that up and we got poke now.
It's very
You like
basic
your nigiri.
Sashimi.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, because I can't eat as much rice as I used to, pretty much all I get anymore is sashimi or my new standby, which is not sushi at all, but agedashi tofu. I love it.
Mm.
So good. It's what I ate that night.
I was going to say that night, because we went out after OLR once to go get food. I remember it was like really late. And there's a sushi bar around here open till past midnight or till midnight. So we were
I'm just mad that the last two places I went to had no saba, the mackerel.
Oh.
Which is like my favorite because it is the fishiest, smelliest, tastiest of all fishes.
Mm-hmm.
So mad.
All right. Anyway, believe it or not, it's not a food podcast. It's a video game podcast. So let's get into some gaming discussion. And I want to kick this off. Loki, I'll kick it to you if you want to with some E3 news. Because believe it or not, we're staring down, 4 months, I think, about till E3. Actually, probably less than that because E3 is in like early June. So about 3.5 months till E3. We know the public tickets went on sale.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard if they sold out or not. I know last time it took them a little while to sell out. But E3 in the year 2018, very different from E3 when the show first started in 2002. And I think the first show we all went to was 2004, right? So E3 is very different now than it was then. So tell us a little bit about what's going to be going on at E3 this year, Loki.
Well, pretty much the same thing as the last few years. EA is not going to E3. They're doing their own thing just outside of E3. So they're going to have their own event where they can try out the new Battlefield game that they're supposed to be showing off, and of course Anthem. And then you can go check that out, and that's between June 9th and 11th
sports,
at the Hollywood Palladium.
Sports and more sports as well, I'm sure, with EA.
You can try
the Maddens and the FIFAs and the NHLs and all the EA sports as well, which I'm not poo-pooing those games. They're huge money makers, cash cows for EA. They've probably made EA the big company that it is. But, you know, I think here's the thing. I think people kind of know what to expect out of a FIFA game, out of a Madden game. Now, granted, they sometimes do new modes. They do things that will kind of throw a curveball in the formula. But generally, you know you're going to get a football game, either British rules or American rules in those two series, right? So, but what you don't know what you're going to get right now is Anthem. Right? Anthem's a big wild card. I know those of us that have been longtime BioWare supporters, some of us, not all of us, but Darksoccer and I are on the side of, we're a little salty. I'm not exactly ready to turn cartwheels for Anthem. Because I kind of feel like EA gave the finger to the Mass Effect series in a really nasty way. And so, especially hearing that Anthem has been delayed, but it will come out in this fiscal year, I'm already worried for Anthem. But I suppose E3 is the place to prove me wrong and show me what a kick-ass game Anthem might be.
You know what Anthem better be? Another Mass Effect. In the Mass Effect universe, it's just Mass Effect Anthem.
So you want basically, was it the Volition version of... No, it wasn't the Volition version. It was... I can't even see. My mind has already blocked out their terrible game that they released, so I'm not even going to try to reference that. Basically, hopefully, they're not going to implement too much Mass Effect. Make it its own thing. I think it's going to be more Destiny, though, than anything.
I would forget. Well, Destiny's not EA. Destiny's Activision.
I understand.
Anthem.
I understand it's Activision, but they want a piece of that money. Yep. Yeah.
No, I get it. I get it. I would forgive EA quite a bit if they would just give us the fucking Mass Effect remaster already. Like, I know EA is really skittish about remastering their games. However, I'm sure some of you have heard, and we have a news story coming out later, looks like EA's changed their mind on that a little bit. So, it's possible. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Well, let me...
Other than that, all we have are mods. Which, by the way... Mass Effect 3 high res mods look really good, so it should be fucking easy.
Let's see, going to our chat at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see, SG100 Matt says Mass Effect Cart Anthem Edition. let's see.
I gave two fingers up for that.
Also, Bobby Blackwell says Anthem is just a Mass Effect game, and they'll name it Mass Effect at the very end. Who knows? Who knows? Mega Man X 400 suggests Mass Effect Trilogy Definitive Edition for Switch. Let's go.
So when he's saying, I'll take a Switch, you know why?
I only play a console. I want a definitive edition also released
Switch is a console.
I mean, not console. I mean, PC.
Oh, so whatever they do needs to also be on PC.
And I want a Mac version so that I can play it on my Mac.
Our list of demands.
So so basically, Bobby's saying the Anthem should be like, you know, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pains, where it's going to be, what, Mass Effect 4 Anthem?
The Phantom good game.
Yes, it was much better than some other shit that certain Konami companies decided to put out recently that we could do this ourselves. No, we can't.
Let me back up a little bit. And Mega Man X clarifying his dream statement there, saying, well, it would obviously come out for all, not just Switch, but doesn't want Switch to get left out. Let me ask this question, a little bit of a different question. You know, enough about Anthem. We'll see more in the coming months at E3. But, you know, I mentioned when we started this discussion is that E3's changed a lot in the past few years. And I think the show that it's become is not the show that we remember. Now, granted, there might be a question if E3 can ever go back to the show that we remember. I mean, keep in mind, when we were going to E3 in 2004, 2005, we didn't have the internet as prolific with video as it is now. I mean, when this show first started on Live 365, we were dial-up friendly radio, right? Anyone remember dial-up modems? They were still a thing in 2002. That was right around the years where that was starting to change. Like, you know, DSL, I think, was a big thing a lot of people had. And then, you know, cable really came in a few years later. But anyway, I digress a little bit. But my point is that, you know, a lot of the experience that we were getting at E3 some time ago, you just go on to Twitch, you go on to IGN, you go on to YouTube, you're seeing a lot of the stuff that you used to have to wait in line, get a ticket, go in a theater to go see. So let me ask you guys this. If you were in charge, and I open this up to chat as well, and reasonably please, if you were in charge of E3 now, what would you do? What would be the show that you would do? Do you think that the ESA, do you think they're doing the right thing right now? Or how would you run E3? You know, and, you know, make it reasonable, but at the same time, I'm not going to draw many more boundaries on it. You know, we will assume that money is not a factor and things like that. Jamie, I'll start with you. How would you run E3 if you were the boss?
I would seriously want to put it back to like it was the first year I went. And I want to see more. The whole thing for me was that Cantia Hall, you know, it was seeing the indie developers, the smaller developers, and having, I loved the little video game museum that they'd have there. It was something that's like, yes, here's the future over here, but here's also where we came from. And I loved having like, seeing the dev units for older systems. And I loved going in and trying new technology that even if it wasn't going to come out, you know, like that one sphere thing, you know, where you put your hand on it and it gave you the feedback. Like you could touch what was in the game through that thing. That was cool. And it was seeing just the innovations that were coming out there. I'd really like a lot of focus on the innovators, you know. And yeah, the swag was great. I mean, I have a few things to this day I still use, you know. But in the long run, you know, the big thing was the going and seeing and the tactile part of, you know, the experience. Getting to put your hands on new things. And, of course, sitting in a Skyline wasn't that bad. That year they had the Skyline there at the whatever the racing thing was.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
I think that's great that you call out Kencha Hall. I mean, that was from the earlier years of E3. You know, that was a lot of the, especially like foreign developers really seemed to be in that area. You know, things that folks from this show might remember when we talked about dance-based games, like In the Groove. Was shown there. Red Octane probably showed the Guitar Hero first in Kencha Hall before that really blew up.
It's also where you could like go to the Natsume booth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the other, I would say like medium developers overseas, you know, but it was also, was it in Kencha Hall? No, it might've been in one of the bigger ones. They had like that dragon flying game where you have to get and flap your arms with it. But
I don't even know if I played that,
but I liked just seeing the stuff like that, the interactivity, you know, again, technology that may not even come out anytime soon, but you get to see it sort of nascent, you know, version of it.
Let me get to some comments in chat, because some great discussion in chat at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwolf says, the problem is I fully believe that the gaming industry needs an expo for the industry. I know consumers would be upset because they feel they are the most important part of the industry, but every other industry in the world has a trade show for just themselves. But the gaming industry is special in that the consumers feel more connected to the industry, more so than you see in other industries. There are still trade shows and expos that I go to that aren't gaming, that have all the swag and the types of stuff that you saw at early E3. But consumers of business software don't necessarily want to go to a business software trade show for industry people. JD in chat says, I would cancel E3 and make it GamerX instead. I do miss GamerX.
We need GamerX to come back.
I hope it comes back this year. MegaManX400 says, I would like to see more developers launch an online E3 on their consoles. For example, whatever games are being featured at E3, you can download a time-limited demo at home and try it out. For a fee, most likely. Somewhat of a virtual pass. I love that idea because that's a really good idea, is that embrace the onlineness that
E3's become.
Doesn't BlizzCon
do that? To an extent.
To an extent. I mean, they have their DirecTV coverage that they sell. They don't really let you play demos. But I remember back in the early days of the Xbox, you could download the same demos they were doing.
Six.
That was a big thing that they had online. The only thing is, though, and I think where game companies get a little cautious, is that people will make up their mind on the games based on said demos. And I think that might be why you don't see it as much anymore. But maybe game companies should really consider doing that for titles that are going to be coming out in the next couple months anyway. You know, I think that should be something they should do. Because we are looking at a more year-round release for games. It's not just the fall anymore. Is fall the most important? Sure, it still is. But you see games released in January, February, all times throughout the year that still succeed. And I think we are moving to a more global calendar. It's just like movies. Movies used to be summer, 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 and the holiday break. But now, like, heck, Black Panther came out in March, and that's what it's like, the fifth highest grossing.
We're in February.
Clearly,
still.
I need a calendar. Thank you. It came out in February, which was not, you don't think big blockbuster releases in February, right? And what, fifth highest grossing opening movie of all time, right? So you don't have to. Was it fifth? I don't, but it's up there. We know that movie made a shit ton of money, right? That was the official figure, actually, was shit ton of money. Going to chat for some more comments at live.vognetwork.com. And great comment by Bobby. Who the hell releases a console in March? Good point. Maybe that's why I was thinking
Nintendo, March. Nintendo, because they've done that a few times already.
That was the tongue-in-cheek joke. Dungeon Buster.
Who the hell releases a console with no online support? Nintendo.
Who succeeded anyway? Dungeon Buster says, E3 used to be focused exclusively on industry members, from retail to corporate shareholders. Now it needs to cater to a new audience to stay relevant, which is going to change that dynamic. SSG100 Matt says, step one, make the holodeck. Step two, make an E3 holodeck where there are no lines and people can play what they want. Step three, charge money for it. Step four, profit.
Are you sure you're not Ferengi? Since you said the holodeck, we may as well go there.
Loki, your dream E3. What would you do
just
if you were in charge?
Die. I mean, honestly.
Wow.
It's
take it out back and
well,
shoot
no,
it.
Well, no, it's just because it's everybody's doing their own thing anyways. And it's just, I think, easier to get access to stuff when it's split up like at different events instead of having it all one thing. E3, I remember, when you go there, it's very chaotic. And I feel that staying home, you actually see a lot more than you do at the show. And I know for, like, a lot of people who have never gone, you know, it's probably pretty exciting to be, like, you know, part of the public to go there and experience that. But it gets old fast. And I just can't imagine now that it would be that exciting to go to E3 and check out all that stuff. It's just, I don't know. I can enjoy it just fine on TV or streaming and stuff and check it out. I do wish they used to do, you know, more demos and stuff like they used to do, but I understand that's a big strain on developers to actually put out a demo that's not running on test hardware and stuff, and that's hard enough. So I'll just accept, just let it go whatever the way it is. Honestly, you know, I don't want to reward the ESA any more than I have to, being that they're defending these companies with the practices that they're doing now, and they've got their backs for that. So it's not like they have the consumer in mind anyways when it comes to a lot of this stuff. They're, you know, clearly signing with developers. So just let it die. Let them do whatever they think needs to make the show successful, but inevitably it's just gonna die.
A harsh but realistic answer from Loki. But let me poke you on this point though, because Bobby said that, you know, the gaming industry needs a trade show, and you've been on the very trade side of things. Some people don't remember, but you used to work in video game distribution, so you've been to E3, not as an OLR host, but in the shoes of a video game distributor. Doesn't the gaming industry still need something like that that caters to that crowd?
Not necessarily. That's more of like they'll go and make deals about different things, you know, especially upcoming, you know, titles, trying to secure allocations and stuff like that. But they have other shows that they go do that at that are specifically for trade. Like, for example, they have Destination PlayStation, which is a strictly industry event that's all Sony. So they have the Xbox. I don't remember the Xbox one's called, but they have some Microsoft Xbox show that's along the lines of that as well. That's also just industry. Nintendo doesn't fucking do anything. They don't care. They play by their own rules. But those two companies do that. And a lot of the other people, because you have reps that you're talking with, they come out to your company and they make deals as well. You don't necessarily need to do that at E3. It's just, it's exciting. E3, all the stuff is announcing, like new consoles are announcing and stuff. It's like, oh, okay, let's secure our allocations and sit down and talk with these people that we haven't met with in a while to discuss what we're going to do to make sure that we're getting enough, you know, enough product in for these things. But then again, independent stores are kind of dying anyways, because these companies don't fucking care. They want to do a, you know, a pre-order bonus with GameStop or Walmart or Target or Best Buy, and they're going to Amazon. They're going to deal with those, you know, companies and fuck everybody else. I mean, honestly, that's kind of the way they treat everybody. So, yeah, you know, right. I don't think it's necessary. I mean, they have those events. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, just because you haven't heard of them, because not a lot of news leaks out from them, doesn't mean that they don't exist. It's just there's a lot of shows out there already available, and there's this PAX, and I mean there's plenty of shows to see games.
Bobby Blackwolf points out GDC is probably a better industry trade show where the people who make the games also get together to learn. Sia Tiberian chat says, if it's becoming more and more like a show than a trade show, why not start a new trade show and break off of E3 to be more like a convention, especially if E3 is being seen as catering increasingly to the general public? These are all good questions. Let me get into my answer to this. So how I would envision E3. First off, I just want to say I really like what Delvin Mega Man X400 suggested in chat. The whole like online experience, so that people that are playing the home game have something to, you know, do. And I think that's like getting there, because you see like the press conferences or something you can kind of watch throughout the day. You know, you see these companies like Jeff Keighley doing stuff with his online networks and IGN and so forth, building these 24/7, you know, experiences out of it. It would be nice to see something, you know, maybe of an official capacity, but maybe they don't need it because they have these other companies. But I like the idea of some of E3 being a little bit more of an online experience for people around the world, so everybody gets excited about E3
like
we used to.
Like PT. Remember when that was?
Oh yeah, but that was Tokyo Game Show, wasn't it? I think that came out of Tokyo Game Show.
I don't remember, but yeah. Still, I mean, that's basically their E3. I mean,
that's so great. Anyway, okay. Here's my thought. I love the idea to reopen Kensha Hall as more of like an indie showcase.
Except it's a parking lot, but you know.
Well, you know, okay, but downtown,
the equivalent thereof.
Downtown LA has been through a lot of changes, and surely they have more parking somewhere. You know, especially with a freaking stadium, or you know, the Staples Center down there. There's and you know, people just have to start taking transit or find other ways to get to, especially with Uber and Lyft being more prolific. You know, people have to find other ways if they take a few parking spots out of E3. Okay, so anyway, I would say turn Kensha Hall back into that indie showcase, but I would like to see E3 kind of embrace gaming and gaming culture. Because I think that's a lot of what's changed in the industry in the past few years, is that you have more and more for gaming culture. Because so much is digital, look at where like GameStop's going, is that they want to sell a lot of these things that are gaming culture. But not just that is what I mean by gaming culture and like the things that are kind of secondary to the video games. But I mean things like how Twitch TV is growing and people are watching online with streaming stuff. That is gaming culture. YouTube, you know, whether I love them or hate them, they are still a part of gaming culture. And a lot of these, you know, online things, esports, you know, that's gaming culture. I would like to see, you know, E3 kind of looked at a little differently about how it's laid out and strategically have an area that really embraces and involves gaming culture. And that is the part that would really appeal to the public for some time. And I would say the part of it that then is left for the gaming, I would say maybe a similar to the Tokyo Game Show. For a day or two, it's just the trade people only. But then, like, on the third day or what have you, they open it up to everybody. Having been to E3, you know, even in the early years, I felt like you could get a good chunk of stuff done in the first 2 days. Then by the third day, it's like, ooh, okay, I'm tired. Let's go get a recap of, you know, things we enjoyed. Go do it again or whatever, you know. So I kind of feel like they could still do a lot with, you know, just even a day or two if it was, like, trade only. But have other stuff that celebrates the culture of video games that would be something that the public has for them, if that makes sense. That's my idea. And Bobby Blackwolf says they had an art gallery, Rob. An art gallery. That's a start. But that's maybe 1% of what I wanted to do there. Bobby Blackwolf also bringing up E4 All as a follow-up to Sia Tabiri's comment about why don't they split it up into a public show and a trade show? Because E4 All flopped. But I think they did not succeed in drawing the right talent into E4All. They had maybe one big publisher there each year they did it. Like, 1 year they had Nintendo, 1 year they had Microsoft. You know, I think they've really got to draw in the talent to make something like E4All work, which is why, you know, it didn't end up working. Bob C. points out that downtown LA has good public transit, and LA Convention Center is getting too small for even Anime Expo now. So, anyway. Let's see. Dungeon Buster says, yeah, first 2 days, rush, rush, rush. But by the third day, I just go back to play the games I wanted to spend more time with or collect more swag. So anyway, I hope the folks that put on E3 will look to change the expo, whether they take these ideas or not. I hope they do look to modernize and change the expo for the year 2018. You know, I'm not going to expect to see that this year, but if the attendance numbers start dipping, they're going to really have to probably look at doing something. So.
Yeah,
we'll see. All right. Anyhow, well, let's move on to our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I didn't really play much of anything. I was supposed to stream, but I was pretty sick at the beginning of the week, so I really just haven't touched anything. You know, just Animal Crossing on my phone, a little Ingress, a little Pokemon Go. Still playing the wrap up of Miitomo. I've been playing the new Bust-a-Move game that's on iOS, but it's not. I hate how they're taking all of them from just the old school gameplay to the, oh, you get bombs if you pay this many points. I'm like, no, that's boring. I just want to play fucking Bust-a-Move. So I'm mad. That's it. I haven't really been playing much.
All right, then let's check in with Loki. How was your gaming week?
Wow. I really didn't play too much this week except, you know, for, of course, Dance Dance Revolution Extreme. And then a little bit of mobile stuff. I did play a little bit of Ingress, a little bit of Pokemon Go when I was at places where near that stuff. And then a little bit of my Office Space game, although I only play that very sparingly. So that's about it. Wanted to play more, just, I don't know, I was working on stuff, unfortunately not games.
All right.
Learning HTML5 and CSS3, fun stuff.
Well, I feel like I played a lot this week, so get a chair. I'll take up for the time then. So I've also been playing the phone games, the Ingress, especially the Pokemon Go, since they did the community event yesterday.
Yes, I got a shiny.
Yeah, I got three shinies.
But I didn't get enough to get a dragon.
Oh, bummer. Yeah, I went out with Shane from Ranger Pride, which came back this week, by the way, you guys. So check that out at VOG Network. Shane from Ranger Pride, myself, some of our other buddies, we went over to Capitol Park here in Sac, and just, you know, it was lit up with lures, as you can imagine. And we walked around the entire 3 hours. We walked around the park, and I probably caught easy like 150 Dratinis. I caught three shinies, which was like the minimum I wanted. So that way I could have a Dratini, Dragonite, Dragonair. I could have each one of them in a shiny form. So I got that. So I'm happy with that. But yeah, lots and lots of Dratini candy and just a good time and good exercise, which is good. A good excuse to just get out and walk around. And I'm telling you guys, and I'm using my quotey finger, dead game. And I realize less people are calling it that now because they end up embarrassed. but it's not a dead game. Like, looking at Capitol, like, it was, there was a lot of people there. And it was to the point where, like, the police were kind of coming around going, like, what is going on? And then when somebody was like, Pokemon, there's a lot of Pokemon stuff going on. They're, oh, okay. Because they were showing up because they're like, what is this unpermitted event that's happening at the Capitol right now? Like, they thought it was a protest.
How dare people use our parks?
Which, ironically, there was a protest because we walked by. There were two guys there on the state Capitol with a mega horn talking about the California seceding from the nation, that whole thing.
Oh.
California being, yeah, the whole separate, yeah, right? So that is what was going on. I'm sure those guys were confused, too. Like, why don't these people look up for their phones?
Yeah, we got a great turnout here.
Yeah, right. We're not here for you, bitch. There's a shiny here. All right. So anyway.
That's how you get us to succeed, or you just, you know, put all... Wait, no, that wouldn't work.
I don't know. If we could secede and join Canada, that would be great.
In the nation of California, shiny Dragonites for all. Yay. All right. Anyway, all that political stuff aside. So that was...
Huh. Just a quick side note. Super multitasking is listed as one of the featured games on Steam right now.
Is that just your library? Because it's tailored to you?
It might be
tailored to you because everybody's playing it.
But it's on there.
All right. Well, since you brought it up, spoiler, Jamie, geez, I was going to get to it. But
I wasn't saying it to spoil it. I'm saying it that it was.
It's fine. Congrats to Aaron or YYR. His game, Super Multitasking, officially released on Steam on Friday, Thursday. I think it was Friday. So it's officially out there and you can buy it. It is still $4.49. It's 10% off the $5 price. And you've heard us talking about this game a lot. You know, please consider going to support Aaron. Best way I can describe the game, it's similar to WarioWare, but obviously kind of different types of games. And the fact is you play four of them all at the same time. Sometimes it's one, it's two. It gets harder and harder as it moves along, right? So just honestly, go look at YouTube. Go look at Twitch. Go watch somebody play it, because it's just a lot of fun. I think the best way to sell, quote unquote, the game is to watch. And if you're a streamer, I would really urge you to pick up Super Multitasking or contact YYR_ on Twitter, because if you're a streamer, he may just straight up, like, you know, help you out with getting hooked up with the product, because I think they make for a very fun stream. Because I did a stream of Super Multitasking on Friday, and people were, you know, I was getting really mad because those challenges get hard, and, you know, it's just like over and over and over again you're doing it, and then finally you get through, and it feels really, really, really good. So yeah, that's great. So congrats to Aaron or YYR on his release of Super Multitasking, and check that out on Steam. Other stuff I played this week. So today with my buddy Delvin from Video Game Realness, we did a live stream. So I didn't do a post OLR stream because we're doing something else after OLR tonight, which I'm going to get to in a minute here in housekeeping. But I did a pre-OLR stream tonight with my buddy Delvin from Video Game Realness, and we played 20XX, or as I call it, 20XDX. That's the Mega Man-esque type of game, but it's more like a roguelike, I guess, where you try to gather as many items as you can, and it carries over into the next game. And that was a lot of fun because you can actually play that co-op online. So that's something that you can't really do in Mega Man. So that was really fun. And then we played Mario Kart. You know, we had to have that standby game that other people could join in, and that was a lot of fun. And it was funny because Bobby kept coming in last place, and then all of a sudden, like the last ones, he whooped our butt in the 200cc. And I was like, Bobby's not going to play 200cc, and then sure, that's the one he murders us at. So congrats to Bobby. And now he can't complain about that. But that was a lot of fun, that Mario Kart stream. So you can follow me on Twitch if you want to see more of that, at Rob Roberts on Twitch. And, of course, a shout-out as well to Delvin at VG Realness over on Twitch for doing the co-streaming with me today. And congrats, of course, to VOG's very own Bobby Blackwolf for getting affiliate this week. So you can check him out on Twitch at Bobby Blackwolf. And he just finished up Police Quest 2. He is streaming on original hardware. He is not, no emulators, no good old games, no none of that. It is the original Pentium computer with his Roland MT32 card that he is streaming these games on. That's a lot of fun. So the streaming doesn't happen on that machine, but the machine is running the game. You know what I mean. One other thing I want to mention. No, I lied. Two other things I want to mention. One, I want to give a quick shout out to Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2 on the Switch, because I did play Bayonetta on the Switch this week for a little bit. It's a good port, and just loving playing that game again. By the way, you remember the story last week about how some of the codes for Bayonetta 2, for the original Bayonetta, were bad? Hey, guess what? I got a bad code for Bayonetta. So I actually had to call Nintendo on Monday, I think it was, and talk to the guy about getting a replacement code. But they were very good. All I had to do was give them the code that I did have. And it sounded like they had a program on their side that was like translating the codes from the bad code to a good code. So I don't know where the screw up was, but they were able to fix it pretty quick. Waiting on hold was the hardest part. So I guess props to Nintendo for at least fixing.
Waiting is the hardest part.
And then lastly, the last thing on Switch that I played this week was Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 Plus. And you're probably thinking, Rob, haven't you played this game before? Yeah, I own it on PlayStation 4 and PC and now Switch. But in my defense, I bought it on PC as like part of a bundle where it cost me like $2 on PC. So like it was nothing on PC. The reason why I got the Switch version was A, for the portability of it, and B, there's actually a brand new mode now that is a two-player mode. And what might not be obvious, which I think is unfortunate, but what's probably not obvious in the marketing material for the game is that you can have the computer control the second character. Now, obviously, it's going to be way more fun if you actually have a second person doing it, but it is kind of cool that you can play with your computer as the partner, and you can still kind of experience the new mode because it is different. It's very different from the regular game because in the two-player game, you each are eating the pellets, and you can kind of help each other or you can kind of stick to your side of the maze, but once you're finished eating the dot, you don't reset to the bottom to pick up the fruit. You actually have to kiss. The two Pac-Mans have to kiss because they're each holding the they're holding the fruit in bubbles. And then when they kiss, they make the fruit, and then you go to the next level. So it does add a new element to it. And then when the ghosts are on rails, when you are in the power pellet mode, it's kind of the most controversial switch in Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 is that they put the ghosts on rails during that part. But what happens is that one Pac-Man has to eat the head and the other has to eat the tail. But once one of you hits the head, it freezes for like 10 seconds. So it gives you an opportunity to grab the tail. So, I mean, these little twists really kind of change it up a bit. So it almost feels like a different game. So if, you know, you're into the Pac-Man Championship game, it's worth checking out, especially if you missed it on all the other platforms. I would say the Switch version is now probably the definitive edition. However, one thing I do have to read it for, the game works really well in handheld mode. It seems like it's optimized for handheld mode. In console mode, I did notice some frame skip and some bad optimization, which considering this game is not exactly new, it's been out on PlayStation 4, it's been out on PC, that's a bit of a no-no. So I do hope Namco will look at this issue and address it because it was something I definitely noticed. And if you've seen Pac-Man Championship Edition 2, it is a little bit graphic intensive. So especially during some of the transitions, like if you notice, like when the Pac-Man floats off one board down to another board, which is it's a very money shot you see in the trailers. That's where I noticed the frame skip the worst. And that's kind of a bummer because that is a very like cool visual flair that the game has. So, yeah. There you go. But I would say check that out for those of you guys that are on the Nintendo Switch and maybe have not played Pac-Man Championship Edition yet. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Brad from Paw Culture says, got to get the Xbox version and complete the set. No. What do you think this is? Mass Effect? No. I'm done. I'm not going to buy this Pac-Man game anymore. The only reason I bought it on the Switch was for handheld and the fact that it had like this whole new sub-game in it that I think is important to check out. So, which also, you know, not to humble brag, but I think I will a little bit, probably because not a lot of people are playing this game on Switch right now. I have a top 50 score in the base board. I have the 40th highest score out of like maybe 4,200 players. So what's cool is that if you're in the top 50, you can actually watch a replay. So if you look for Rob, I might still be there. I might have got bumped off by the time you hear this. But if you look at the top 50 for just the basic beginner champion board and you see Rob, you can actually watch my replay and see that I did have some imperfections in my run. But I'm going to try to get better because I really enjoy the game, even though the ghosts on rails, you know, it's a little bit of a shortcoming. I wish they'd kind of done that a little bit differently, but I love the music, too. The music just, like, it's like the Pac-Man Championship Edition's games have great soundtracks, and this one's no different. So, anyway, I have blabbed enough about my gaming week. Let's move on. I want to go to some housekeeping here, because I've got something big to talk about tonight. Over at the Voice Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, we have introduced a brand new show, and we want to give a warm welcome to. This show has actually been existing for a little while, but they've just joined up, partnered up with the Voice Geeks Network this week. So we want to say hello and welcome to The Far Away Nearby, which is a new podcast on the network this week. And you can check that out. It is going to air Fridays at noon Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern, with repeats on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. Or, of course, you can check out back episodes of our show over at VogNetwork.com or on the Far Away Nearby's official website. And DJ Star Sage is actually in chat saying hello, and such a privilege to be here, and to which we say welcome aboard to not just DJ Star Sage, but Princess Micah, who co-hosts the show. It is a nerd boy and girl bestie talking about life and laughs, including commentary on TV, movies, music, and so forth. If you want to hear more of The Far Away Nearby, you can. Right after OLR tonight, we're going to do a sneak peek at their latest episode from their feed. So big welcome to those guys, and thanks for being here at the Voice of Geeks Network. So, and thank you. Everybody in chat's giving them a big warm welcome. Appreciate that. So check that out. We're going to check out their latest episode, Passion, Privilege, and Peril, tonight after Orange Lounge Radio. So welcome, Far Away Nearby. You can follow them on Twitter at TFNDJ. I hope I did not screw that up, but I'm doing that off the top of my head. I'm double checking myself on the website right now. I think I got it right. If I got that wrong, just holler at me in chat, DJ Star Sage. All right. That's all I have for housekeeping. You can follow us on Twitter at OLR. We're also on Facebook at Orange Lounge Radio. Let's get into some gaming news. Loki.
Yes, so apparently Square Enix has plans for Final Fantasy 15 that go on through 2019 as far as the download content schedule that they have. So they're going to keep adding different things to it, including, actually, with the launch of the PC version, they have a skin that is Half-Life themed as well. So yes, you can actually dress up like Gordon Freeman if you want.
I hate this. Like, I hate it. Thanks, I hate it.
But it is any less is this more ridiculous than you know, the whole cup noodle stuff? I mean, come on.
I guess not, but I hate it for multiple reasons. For one, like, really, like stop shoving Half-Life in our face if you're not going to fucking make Half-Life 3. Like, just stop it. It's fucking rude.
That's more it sounds like a Valve problem than anything.
It is, and I'm giving them shit for that. But then at the same time, it's like, you know, I feel like this is such a weird, out of place addition. But then at the same time, and I know somebody's going to call me out on chat on it, so I might as well just say, I know they did the Mass Effect costumes in Final Fantasy 13 too, but I was okay with that. No, they were kind of ridiculous there too. They were kind of ridiculous.
I'm kind of okay with them going ridiculous. Let's really make it even more ridiculous. I mean, might as well, because you know what? That's, hey, there we go. It worked for Volition. Let's do that. You know, let's take Final Fantasy in the direction of Saints Row. Let's put Johnny Gat in the game. Why not? Like, everybody wants fucking Johnny Gat and stuff.
Over the top.
Just throw Johnny Gat in there. He can be another member of their team. And actually, I'd be fine with that, actually.
How do you feel about Final Fantasy 15 continuing on into 2019? Because I kind of wish they'd let it go and let the team work on some, like, Final Fantasy 16 or something new. Like, I just, I feel like I played and I finished Final Fantasy 15. And I'm getting irritated that it keeps saying, nope, you got to come back and play through the whole game again because we changed this one little thing, or we did this one, you know, new thing that's different, or now there's this one character you can play as or something. It's like, okay, if you're going to, like, then I'm just going to check out until you're done releasing all this shit, and then I'll play the game again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was funny. Like, I was actually talking to my son about, I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to finish that game, because he was asking me, he's all, what was that game that you're playing that had a guy with the large sword and you got food out of eggs? I'm like, geez, you know what? That could be like a billion different things. I have no idea what you're talking about. And I still don't know what game he was referring to, but I was like, Final Fantasy 15, maybe? I mean, like, I don't think I ever saw me playing that game, but I'm like, oh, yeah, I do need to go play that.
I mean, I guess for the people that really enjoy Final Fantasy 15 and are really, you know, into the game and the lore, I mean, it is cool that the game is continuing on. I mean, I guess it would be similar to, you know, the continued DLC they did for the Mass Effect games for a while.
It could be worse. They could make spinoff games like they did with 7.
Final Fantasy 15 was a spinoff game, remember? It started as a spinoff game.
It's true. This is true, yes, now that I think of it. But, like, you know, I'm talking about, like, you know, they could do a Dirge of Cerberus or something like that. Cerberus.
Jamie, I don't think you really got into Final Fantasy 15, but how do you feel about the life till 2019 of this game?
I don't care. I'm not going to play it.
I hope they actually make that stupid VR mode that they actually were showing off originally. That was going to be the VR mode.
Instead of the fishing bullshit. Oh, it's so angry.
It's just so ridiculous. I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't really enjoyed a Final Fantasy game past, other than the MMOs. I mean, like, the last one I played any significant amount of was 8, and I don't think it was as good as 7. I barely touched 9. 10 was fun, and after that, I mean, it's just lost me.
Oh, 12 though, girl. 12's so good.
I don't like 12. I hate the
11 and 14.
I hate the draw system.
She said besides MMOs.
I hate the draw system in 12.
Draw's not in 12. Draw's in 8.
Well, I mean, not 8, but the targeting system.
Oh, it is a little different, yeah.
It's annoying is what it is.
12 wasn't, see, that was the one I was supposed to play was 12 because it was similar, the combat system was similar to like, look like 11 almost, where you kind of get near something. Actually, that's almost like Parasite Eve even, but I don't know.
I wouldn't mind if they remastered 13, honestly. I know that's the one people love to hate on, but I liked 13 well enough, and I think that trilogy deserves a nice little, you know, boost into the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One era, but, you know, I'm not going to hold my breath.
I finished the first one. I mean, because I had this ending spoiled. I'm like, what's the point now?
I think Final Fantasy 13 is one of those Final Fantasy games that actually had a good ending, I think. I mean, it did not go on for a half hour. It was like a 5-minute. Well, it depends on what you look at as ending. If you want to look at just from when final boss dies to directed by so-and-so in the credits, it's like maybe 5.5 minutes. You know, it's pretty succinct, but it's a really good 5.5 minutes. So, anyway. Okay, I guess we'll move on. Other stories.
I just want Final Fantasy VI in Final Fantasy XV's engine.
I could go for that, but you know we're getting Final Fantasy VII first.
Yeah, fine. I'll settle for VII, but like after we're done with this and they run out of ideas again, which will be like 5 minutes later,
I want six. The best Final Fantasy story right now is in Final Fantasy XIV, and it's just a bummer that so many people are going to miss it because of the multiplayer / MMO / monthly fee element.
Or getting bored with it.
And what part of the game made you bored?
Pretty much anything having to do with not being able to jump to the next quest because of a level cap.
Okay, that's fair. They have
an end game.
They have done some reduction on the experience you need, so hopefully it would help.
So,
but I'm already paying for WoW, so I'm not going to pay for another MMO.
Major gripes, of course, with 11 was the whole level cap system. Do you have to do like level breaks? Do they have that system in 14?
No.
Oh, thank God.
Well, wait, I take that back. It's nothing like it was in 11.
I'd have to grind for days just because I would not have enough experience or not be a high enough level to take my next quest. Stupid.
Especially in the beginning, it can be. And the story, unfortunately, doesn't get like really good until like level 45.
Well, and I mean, I've got a higher level character already, but I mean, the thing that I really liked with what World of Warcraft did is now you've got the scaling leveling. And that has been working out amazingly.
Did they fix the old dungeons ever? Because that was the part that really
turned
me off.
I just walked into the one in Orgrimmar by accident, and it was a level 20 dungeon, so... Hmm. And my character is like 35 right now, my Nightborn.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I think that if you did it in Dungeon Finder, it would scale. But if you just walk into it, it's native level.
Hmm. All right, well, let's move on to some news about Nintendo. Nintendo bringing something that you know, a lot of other companies did a long time ago, but they're finally introducing it, and it could be interesting to see how it works out for them. This has to do with user reviews. That's right. Nintendo.com now has a user review system. So if you have ever played a Nintendo Switch or a Nintendo 3DS game, and this, of course, is all going to be noted by your play history, you can actually go into your My Nintendo account, and you can actually find a game that you've played either on desktop or mobile, and there should be a review this game prompt where you can actually review the game. Now, in order to actually leave a review, you have to have played the game for at least 2 hours. If you've played the game for 2 hours, you can give the game a 1 to 5 star rating, do a headline, and then fill out a review box. And you can use some pre-made tags, including kid appropriate, challenging online play, and so forth. And then there's a spoiler box. And then you also get to identify what type of gamer you are. Are you a Nintendo fan, a core gamer, a casual gamer, and a parent? That's interesting how they have both.
Because parents can't just be, you know, any of them.
I'm assuming you're not limited. Oh, no, it says you can't pick more than one of those. So if you're a casual gaming parent Nintendo fan, I guess you have to pick the one you are the most. Anyway, reviews will be moderated, but it will not be modified just because they give a negative evaluation of a Nintendo product. It says that reviews will go live within 3 to 7 business days, assuming it's for all ages. So I'm assuming you can't go in there and write a review that's fuck this fucking piece of fuck garbage. You know, you can't.
Aww.
Sorry, Loki. Anyhow, this is interesting just because Nintendo is doing this after so long. Why are they just now adopting this? My thought is that it's because of the Switch's library, because so much of the Switch's library is online and there's so many indie titles. And I think a lot of them get lost because, you know, for all the Wii U didn't have any software talk, there's like 4 or 5 games a week coming out on Switch. Now, granted, most of them are online indie titles, but that doesn't mean they're bad stuff. In fact, there's a lot of really good stuff in there. I see tons of people playing that Celeste right now, which I admittedly don't know much mm-hmm. about, but I know that's something that came out on Switch. But maybe through user reviews, I would get to hear more about it. Loki, what do you think about Nintendo rolling out user reviews? Is this a good thing? Or?
Well, they've worked so well in Steam, and so, as long as they moderate it, you know, I think that's because people will try to abuse the system, but it couldn't hurt. Or at least, you know, even they have like something basic like ratings, like 1 to 5 stars and stuff in the PlayStation Network, although it's hard to see what people's feedback is on that stuff. I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Bobby Blackwolf in chat suggests that what they're going for with the tagging is what voice are you rating that review? So you might be a casual gaming Nintendo fan parent, but they want you to focus your review on how it is for your kid since you're their parent. That's a good perspective. I hope they call that out as such in the rules, but that's a good way to figure out what tag would be most appropriate is what voice are you using to talk about it. So, yeah, pretty interesting to see Nintendo get on board with that. Could this be because they have closed Miiverse? And maybe Miiverse was a way that you got the user experience before. I don't know. But that's one other suggestion that's out there as to why now is the time for Nintendo reviews, because Miiverse is unfortunately no more. So, all right. Well, I think we are good to move on to Dark Soccer, even though she's got Mr. Smush in her lap.
I was giving him good scritches, and he was like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, he's up to no good today. He's been – now he's stepping on the Pikachu pillow over there, making his way back to the chair.
Did you see my photo bomb from the other day?
No.
I was taking a selfie, and Midna's butt was in it.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
That's the best – you know, the best photo bomb is cat butt.
You didn't hear me, but Mr. Smush jumped up on the mixing board again. That's something he likes to do to disrupt the show. Luckily, he hasn't figured out how to move the switches
yet.
Why
are you not paying attention to the cat?
Pretty much.
The cat is the most important person in this room.
Pretty much.
Seriously. So, speaking of Warcraft, since I had brought up my wowing earlier, Warcraft 3, which is arguably the best of them, had gotten a patch. Patch 1.29 was released. It has some balance changes for the heroes, puts in widescreen support, and updates to the map pools. I also was reading on the update that they're allowing now like a 24-player thing. But anyway... But the thing about this is that it seems like it's leading up to something. The last update that Warcraft 3 got was in 2017 when it was, I guess just more fixes and everything. But the other thing too is that the thought is that when you install Warcraft 3, this time, and this is actually pointed out by r_ez on the World of Warcraft subreddit, that when you install it, it opens a new launcher that's similar to the battle.net launcher. And it's been replicated by other places by installing Warcraft 3, the Frozen Throne. And the launcher was previously used to update the game while the installer was still legacy. So what's going on right now is the theory is that this is going to lead to a Warcraft 3 remaster, kind of like how the StarCraft remaster went last year, which would be nice because, I mean, Warcraft 3 is actually still a really solid game. I mean,
yeah, it's kind of similar to StarCraft in the fact that people are still playing it.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, too, I mean, if you're, you know, a lore whore, you know, it's basically everything that led up to the start of World of Warcraft. You know, you had the whole... You know, the Frozen Throne itself was the whole, you know, Lich King story and all that. So it was pretty crazy. But yeah, there is a Warcraft 3 Invitational Tournament also to be held on February tomorrow. Sorry, not tomorrow. February 27th and 28th. So that's just next week. That will be hosted by the people from Back to Warcraft. And it's going to be on Twitch. It includes free for all, 4v4, friendly competitions, stuff like that. So who knows? I have the theory that they're going to make the announcement at this thing. So it'll be pretty nice, but I wonder if they're, you know, if it's that they're going to charge again for a new version of Warcraft 3, or if they'll like have some deal that if you launch it through your original disc, you get like a special something or.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how they did the StarCraft remaster. Well, ultimately, with the StarCraft remaster, they never got rid of the old version. So the old version, in fact, became free. And I think it was to drum up interest in the remaster, which I think they were charging $15 for.
It's like, not terrible.
Yeah, it's not terrible. It's enough to pay the artists back, but they didn't necessarily have to reinvent the game.
But so. I would just kind of hope, though, that they'd have, like, some sort of legacy adoption or something. Like, yeah, you have the old, you know, who has discs anymore? You know, if they catch like...
Wasn't it all serial keys, too? Like, you would have the serial key on your account?
Yeah. Like, so if you have, like, the serial for having purchased, you know, the game, then maybe you get, like, some bonus thing for, like, a legacy account or something.
Let us not forget, Warcraft 3 is where, basically, MOBAs were born.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Dota 2...
Was a mod of Warcraft 3.
Dota is 2 because Dota was a mod of Warcraft 3 that spun off. And that's where you have Heroes of the Storm and League of Legends and all this really have Warcraft 3 at its core to thank.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of neat.
And then on top of it, I mean, you know, again, great stories, and it's where... I guess for the people who play WoW today, who maybe not have played that, that's where these big characters come from. I mean,
sure.
I would say specifically most of the big names come from Warcraft 3.
A few from 2. Like,
a
I think
few,
Deathwing was the plot of 2, wasn't it?
Well, yeah.
So.
But I mean, but, you know, and what is old is new again.
And so. who doesn't want to move the peons around? Zug, zug.
Yeah.
Job's complete.
I was actually just doing, because the whole thing I like about the whole level scaling right now in World of Warcraft is that I've gone back and do content from Cataclysm that I'd never done because I didn't play Horde at the time.
Oh, right.
So, but I love like how it's like the same, you know, kind of peon voices.
Yeah, yeah. They like totally lifted it from the original game, I think.
It's just so funny.
Yeah, super fun.
Yeah, so that's it. Warcraft 3, who knows? We'll find out this week.
Well, let's move on, Loki, with something else.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about that brand new mode that they have in Mario Odyssey. Remember they teased it a little bit where you hide balloons and find balloons and stuff like that. So like all good things, people have to fuck with it. And so we're getting issues where people are actually taking the balloons and hiding them in places that are very hard to get to or are out of bounds in the map, because of course they are. So there's people glitching through walls and stuff and hiding them within buildings and stuff like that. It's kind of funny. You know, hopefully Nintendo patches that out, but it's interesting to see that it might be a little bit frustrating to get some of these balloons because they are in places that you can't really get to.
Yeah, I hear not a lot of people are a big fan of this new patch for Mario Odyssey, but I mean, it's nice that they kind of did something new that's free, but I guess this was a little, maybe a little rough around the edges, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to play with people that are going to gonna put the balloons in not so easy places.
Yeah.
All right. Well, another game that I think some folks are looking forward to on the Switch is the Mega Man Legacy Collection. Now, Mega Man Legacy Collection, of course, this already released on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, I think the PC as well. But that doesn't stop people from wanting to buy it again, especially when you can have it on the go. And maybe some people never got it the first time around because Switch is your primary console. So it was confirmed that Mega Man Collection 1 Plus 2 is going to be released for the Nintendo Switch. So yes, it is being bundled together. That will have amiibo support for the Mega Man amiibo. I think it just unlocks some things. And apparently the way it works is that you will actually be purchasing, apparently Mega Man Legacy Collection 1 is on the cartridge, but then you get a DLC code for Mega Man Legacy Collection 2. It's very, very similar to what they just did with Bayonetta 2. Having the digital code for Bayonetta 1, except it's the other way around. So that's pretty cool. So you can check that out. And what was the release date on this? Release date is May 22nd. You can buy the two games together for $39.99 retail. Or you can get them DLC, $14.99 for Mega Man Legacy Collection and $19.99 for Mega Man Legacy Collection 2. That's interesting because it's actually cheaper to buy them digitally than to buy the cartridge. But I guess that's because of A, the cost of the cartridge, and oh, maybe that exclusive Mega Man 30th anniversary cleaning cloth that comes with it.
Oh, geez.
That is interesting, though, that you're really seeing like a direct, like, nope, going to be cheaper to buy this one digitally. So interesting how they're kind of doing that. But yeah, we'll see how that works out. I'm starting to have storage issues on my Switch. I had to archive so much stuff in order to be able to fit Bayonetta and Pac-Man. Like, I had to go. Now, granted, the stuff I was able to archive was really easy. Like, I archived the old Splatoon demos and stuff. But still, I mean, it was weird that I was running out of space. I think I actually did have to move, like, something I'd actually been playing a little bit, but just hadn't touched in a few months. So I might need to buy more memory for my Switch. Yikes. By the way, Mega Man fans, there are some new Mega Man toys that we're showing off at the New York Toy Fair. There are some new 66 action minifigures for Super Mega Man, Star Force Mega Man, Cut Man, and Vile. $8 each for those. You can actually get some ride armors. X and Vile ride armors will be $50 each. And that was all, again, being shown at the New York Toy Fair. So those of you guys that really like to collect, can check that out. I like the Cutman figure. That's kind of a deep cut, too, because not everybody remembers the bosses from the very first game. But I certainly remember that stage and what a pain in the ass it was to beat. Because that game was hard. The original Mega Man was hard. I mean, the other ones were hard, too. But they did kind of dumb down the second game a little bit when they released it here, as opposed to Japan. But like the first game,
I didn't think the first one was that hard.
It was kind of hard. Like, try to go back and play it now.
Not too long ago.
Like, 12-year-old you versus now you is going to be very different.
Keep
that's
in mind,
I found.
I didn't beat the first Mega Man until I was 18.
Huh.
So, I started with Mega Man 2.
Okay.
So, anyway. Oh,
fair enough. All right, what do you have for us, Star Soccer, before we get to the classic game of the week?
More Blizzard stuff. There is a rumor. And you know how we are about rumors.
So rumors, bolded, underlined, slow news week, salt.
It's in italics.
All of it.
With
yes.
quotes.
Yes.
That Blizzard is working on Diablo 3 for Switch. Which, Diablo, who knows? It got better, didn't it?
It did. Diablo 3 is a lot of fun. It would Oh, go ahead.
Well, just that they want to implement local play with multiple Switches. So you could have the local co-op on, I guess you could just play it on the handheld.
Yeah, what's kind of rad about this, like I'm of two mindsets, because there's part of me that says Diablo 3 is like, how old is Diablo 3 at this point? At least
5 years?
5 years old, 6 years old maybe?
Diablo 3 was, You got it for, there was like a thing during Cataclysm.
I want to say it came out almost like 2012. I think it was like coming up on 6 years old pretty soon.
I thought it came out like right after Cataclysm.
Well, anyway, regardless, it's kind of an older game. Now, to be fair, so is Skyrim, and Skyrim's been doing very well on the Switch, and people are really excited about that. Here's what I think is neat about Diablo 3. What the PlayStation and the Xbox can't do is that if you're playing multiplayer in the same room, you have to basically share the loot drops, and you can't run off the screen because you only have one TV, right? So you can't run off the screen. If Diablo 3 launches for the Switch, and you are not beholden to be online all the time, which I wouldn't think you would be because the Switch is a portable system, and Diablo dropped that requirement with the console games, not the PC version. PC's still always online. But my point is, Diablo 3 on the Switch is going to be the closest thing to the LAN experience from the old Diablo days than even necessarily the PC versions, which are always online. Think about that. The Switch is now, if you have Diablo 3 on the Switch, it's basically going to be a LAN game. Right? And you have your own thing going on, and so do your friends, and you don't have to be confined in the same part of the level. That's kind of rad. So, but I wish it was Diablo 4 or a new Diablo expansion, at least for 3, because the story kind of didn't end. They left it wide open for more. So I kind of wish it was a new Diablo thing, but I really like the idea of this game on Switch. I think it could be a very good console game. ActDeft in chat at live.vognetwork.com says, I want Overwatch on Switch, damn it. I almost said Overswatch. Overwatch on Switch, damn it. I mean, it makes a lot of sense if it can handle the graphics, which, you know, Overwatch can be played on a pretty... Yeah, a PC that's a few years old. I mean, it's going to take some, you know, it's not going to look as good as it does, you know, 4K on, you know, a PC is some things. But, you know, you can run it. But I think the only problem with Overwatch is that a game like that kind of always has to be online. So you can't really have the portable element. However, it would be pretty fucking cool if you could, like, take a Switch to a convention and just do, like, a local area network Overwatch game that isn't ranked or anything. You don't get points. It doesn't rank. Just a brawl that you could do offline with friends. That would be kind of rad. So I'd like to see it. We'll see. Anyway. All right. Anything else with the Diablo story? I didn't want to miss anything, but I know it is a rumor, so there's probably not a lot else to say. All right, let's move on then. Loki, just a few more stories for our classic game of the week.
All right, and so this used to be a game I played quite a bit, Star Control. And as you remember, there was a lawsuit between the developers and Stardock as to who has the rights to the game and that type of thing. So there's a little bit more to go along with this. So apparently now the developers are filing a counterclaim against Stardock, who had originally filed the claim, and basically saying that, you know, Stardock had filed a complaint in federal court against us, personally alleging, among other things, that we are not actually the creators of Star Control. This is news to us. Are we clones of the original Fred and Paul? Just now learning of our squelchy vat birth? Unfortunately, Stardock's complaint is not a prank, so today we took an action, filed a response in federal court, answering Stardock's false claims. Of course, we also filed a counterclaim against Stardock, as the original Fred and Paul would have wanted. So, I guess they're alleging that they're not the people that they say they are.
What a mess this whole situation is.
It is, and I would really like a new Star Control game, but, you know, we'll see.
But first we have to, like, figure out copyright law and trademark law.
Oh, if there's something that needs to be reformed, man, it's that.
All right. Well, something that's getting reformed for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One for a new generation, I suppose, is Burnout Paradise. That's right. It has been confirmed. We had a rumor about this previously, but it was confirmed this week that a remaster will be arriving on March 16th. It will set you back $40. It will run in 4K. That's pretty awesome. 60 frames a second, and of course, online mode is going to be there. When you buy the game for $40, all 150 cars, all 8 expansion packs, including Big Surf Island. It will run in 1080p on PlayStation 4 and Xbox hardware, and apparently 4K resolution and 60 frames a second on the PlayStation 4 Pro and Xbox One X. I don't know how they're going to do that on the PlayStation 4 Pro. I didn't think you were... It was really intended for gaming at 4K, but that'll be impressive if they do it.
What, the PlayStation 4 Pro?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
They could do 4K and Pro.
At 60 frames a second?
Probably.
Wow, all right. That's great.
It's an old game. I mean, I don't know.
All right, yeah, no. I'm all for it.
I'm down. That's day one for me.
Yeah, and what's also really cool about it, they did confirm, even though there was a screenshot out there that had a in-game purchases optional thing, they did confirm on Twitter there are no microtransactions, there's no additional paid-for content, so pitchforks down, so because all of that old stuff is being included. Also, the game's soundtrack is returning in its entirety.
Yes.
So any of the licenses you were worried about from before, you will get the whole... Welcome. No, is it Take Me Down to Paradise City? It has to be. It was the intro song to that game.
Yeah.
Take me down to the Paradise City. That you're going to get all that.
Nice, excellent impression.
Thank you.
Yeah. I guess.
Now honestly, you just got to be more of an asshole.
He's just screaming in pain.
Honestly, for the remaster, I mean, it doesn't all. It looks less bloomy.
I don't know that anyone can be as big of an asshole as Axl Rose.
Couldn't tell you which one is the new version or not.
Yeah, I'm excited. Bobby Blackwolf says people are excited that the Avril song is in it. Well, why shouldn't they be? Which Avril song was in it? I forget. Is it Complicated or is it one of the other ones? Skater Boy? Which
girlfriend?
Why is it girlfriend? Have to go hey, get hey, me you, you. Oh God,
that song is so bad, but I love it. All right.
So this is coming out on, it's PlayStation 4 and Xbox. What about PC? Are they doing a PC version?
I don't know.
So I have the original PC one.
I don't know if I saw PC in the list. Let me look again at the list that I'm looking at here. They're just saying PlayStation 4 and Xbox One is where you can order it right now. So not seeing anything on PC. I bet that comes later. I bet they're going to go, hold on. Sorry, sneeze. I bet they're going to go Grand Theft Auto style with it and do the PC version later.
Yeah, because that'd be really nice. Yes.
ActEft in chat actually confirms PC is coming, but later, if I recall correctly. So
it does look nice. I do want it. I want it.
All right.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase PAGE.
Well, let's take a trip down memory lane. Let's go back even further. You know, why stop at like 10 years of Burnout Paradise and we can go back like 30 years? With the classic game of the week. Every week, Dark Sakura picks a classic game from the gaming vault and says, hey, 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 you, go and play this video game.
No.
Dark Sakura, on this very special episode, what did you pick as the classic game of the week?
I picked 720 Degrees.
I see what you did there.
Because of reasons.
It's episode 720, so why not pick 720?
Right. So, it came from 1986. It's a skateboarding game done by Atari Games. It has to keep the game going, you have to keep scoring points. So, it has a little bit of a timer on it as well. So,
that's how you get it to take more of your money.
Right. But anyway, You are playing as a skateboarder going around a middle-class neighborhood. You have to do tricks, you do jumps, and you have to acquire enough points to go compete at a skate park. I'll read the story. It's just you, your trusty skateboard, and $100 as you skate, jump, slide, spin, and move through four levels of difficulty, picking up loose cash, earning money through events, and finally earning a ticket to one of the big skate parks. If you're lucky, you'll get to buy some rad equipment to make you the coolest skateboarder alive. So, you start off with a number of tickets that get you admission to one of four skate parks, or the event in Skate City. And so, your ticket is used at that point, and you go and you do tricks, but, you know, if you're not in an event, you see a countdown bar that starts sending bees after you with the words skate or die.
Fuck those fucking bees.
Right?
Fucking bees. Why does it always have to be bees?
But once the bees arrive, you have a very small amount of time to get to the park.
Not the bees!
I remember watching the first X-Files movie, and we wouldn't say the future is out there. We'd say the bees are out there. But anyway, you have to keep doing stunts and, you know, bees. So you have your ramp, you have downhill, you have a slalom, and you have jump. So those are your four events. And then you have different power-ups that you can buy, starting from $25 going up to $250. So you get shoes for higher jumps and faster acceleration. You get a board for higher speed, pads for quicker recovery from wiping out, and a helmet so you can be more aggressive. So you spin faster to get that famed 720-degree jump. The cabinet, I always thought the cabinet was cool because the speakers were put on top of it kind of like a boombox, you know? So it just kind of fit that whole theme. And it was one of those large ones like they used for Paperboy, the large monitors. Your joystick was a circle, a circular motion instead of just your standard, you know, regular D-pad style. And then you had two other buttons, one for kicking, you know, to push off instead. And then your other one for jumping. So it was a great popular game. It did have many ports. There was Commodore 64, got two ports of it in 1987. The Amstrad CPC and ZX Spectrum came out in 1988. The NES version came out in 1989, Game Boy Color in 1999. There's an unreleased port for Atari Lynx.
Unfortunately, the bees got to it before
it
came out.
Yeah, the bees got it. It didn't skate it. It just died. And there was... on side two of the game cassette, I guess this one would be for one of the other computer versions. I had the soundtrack from the original game on it. There are emulated versions included in Midway Arcade Treasures, Midway Arcade Origins, and LEGO Dimensions in 2015. But also that phrase, skate or die, was used to inspire another game, EA's Skate or Die, which spawned a sequel called Ski or Die. And there you go.
Which is also known as Ski Free.
Is it really?
If I was skiing, it would just be die.
No, because, you know, the abominable snowman would come after you.
Oh, Jesus. That's right. That's right. All right. I didn't play Ski or Die, really. I played Skate or Die. I feel like there was a Skate or Die 2 at some point.
There was.
There was Skate or Die 2. But these games are very different. It's very important. But 720 and Skate or Die, very different
games. Skate or Die was fun. Yeah. I really should put it.
I like 720. A lot. I think I like 720 more as a game, but the problem is you would never get more than like 2 minutes before the fucking beast kills you and you had to put in another quarter. Like, it's just, it's very hard to be good at that game.
Even like the Nintendo version was very hard.
Yeah.
That's one I used to play.
I was not a fan of really any of the skateboarding games. I really didn't like Skate or Die. I didn't really care. I mean, 720 I probably played a bit more of because we had one at my arcade.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why. I mean, a lot of people would play them. A lot of people would just be all into them. But it was never really my cup of joe.
That's all right. It happens.
You know what game I also didn't care for?
Mm.
California Games. Not very good.
California Games was a spinoff of Summer Games and Winter Games and Epix's like Olympics.
But I played it on Lynx and it just wasn't... Oh,
so many car trips spent playing that game on the Lynx.
I bet the Lynx port wasn't as good as probably
the right. It was the surfing part. Just I hated.
Oh, I love the surfing.
I don't remember California games.
And then it had
the
Town and Country gorilla, wasn't it the gorilla, the mascot for the TNC? That was Surf and Skate.
I turned off 720 music because clearly we've gone tangent.
Yeah, I remember like they had BMX, so that was fun, like downhill BMX, and so that was cool. And then they had surfing, hacky sack,
TNC Surf and Skate, which wasn't great.
Frisbee.
I might be getting California Games and TNC Surf and Skate mixed up.
Bobby Blackwell says, I have the VCR California Games board game. I didn't even know they made that. That's pretty awesome.
How does that even work?
Somebody took
you
the license.
You played Hacky Sack well. 2 points?
No, because it's a VCR game, so you probably had to watch people playing the sports and then probably something to do with memory.
I hate those VCR games.
The Clue VCR game was bomb. The Clue VCR game was so awesome. And I know I've talked about this on the show before because the first MAGFest I went to, they screened some documentary about the Clue VCR game. Mm. And like the fact that, you know, bad actors and actresses in that. And they weren't really bad. They were all like theater people up in the Northeast that just did this on a whim.
The only mixed game like that I've played was Quest for the Rings on the Odyssey 2. And then we just never played the board game part of it. We just played the game.
What was the VCR game where like it would be silent the whole time and then all of a sudden this like monster would come up on the screen and go, "Maggot! Maggot!" I'm not somebody who knows their VCR games. Bobby's got to know this game. It was some like scary VCR game and it was ridiculous.
I wouldn't play it.
It was ridiculous.
Is it
was
hungry?
It Nightmare? That sounds right. Nightmare? I think that might have been it.
That's yucky.
Oh, Bobby has the receipts with a YouTube.
That's yucky.
I think that's probably it. Let me see. Wait. Hold on. I've got to. Usually I don't click on YouTube links randomly, but I trust Bobby. Which has Nightmare game video. Oh. Let's see. Hold on. Let me see if I can. Okay, so here's one of his little taunts coming up here.
Stop! Who stand is it next? Who is just about to roll the dice? Answer me!
Answer me!
Answer me!
Time's up. If you fail to answer yes, my gatekeeping time, must roll
my gatekeeping time
before you can play again.
You must roll a six before you can play again.
All right, anyway.
God. I'm getting up.
We need to remake Nightmare using Loki.
Hey!
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, plenty more of Orange Lounge Radio to come, including rapid-fire news, release dates, some emails, and your calls at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this quick break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, February the 25th, episode number 720 of our show, a very appropriate choice for our classic game of the week, just before we took that break. And now we're back to get into some rapid-fire news. Loki, why don't you start us off getting some rapid-fire news?
Yeah, we got more video game movie news. So they're apparently going to make Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie. Confirmed to be in production with Paramount and supposed to be coming out in November 2019.
Because the minute they heard that a Mario movie was happening, somebody had to make a fucking Sonic movie, and his shitty friends better stay away from it. Who's making it?
Paramount.
Who's there? What anime? Is it anime? I'm assuming it's
anime. My friend calls them Poopamount.
It better be animated.
I don't know who their animation is.
If it's a live action Sonic movie.
starring Danny DeVito as Sonic the Hedgehog.
Let's hope. Oh my God.
Starring, Ron Jeremy as Sonic the Hedgehog.
I'd love that.
Yes. It's apparently going to be directed by Jake Fowler, who apparently had an Academy Award for his work on the animated show. Short Gopher Broke, and Tim Miller, who was the director of Deadpool, and other, he's the owner of an animation and CG production company called Blur Studios. I don't know if they're going to be the ones that are actually doing it, but yes, there'll be a mix. Oh no. So it's scheduled to come out November 15, 2019. It is a mix of live action and CGI.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh yes.
It's gonna have Sonic in the real world alongside humans.
Oh God.
Which is supposed to be like Sonic Adventure or something.
This is already terrible.
I don't know, it could have the whole Roger Rabbit vibe to it.
Hard pass.
Because that works so well for Peter Rabbit, the Smurfs, the Chipmunks,
Sonic 2006,
the next Chipmunks movie. probably another Chipmunks movie, another Smurfs movie, Woody Woodpecker. Those have all been smashing successes.
Hard pass.
So, look forward to that in theaters next year. You know, or not, because, you know, what am I judging? Anyways, so let's talk a little bit about Games with Gold. So, Microsoft has announced what the next lineup for Games with Gold is going to be. Starting March 1st on Xbox One, you're going to get Trials of the Blood Dragon. And that's going to run for the entire month. And then for the second half of the month, you're also going to get, or I should say, from March 16th to April 15th, Super Hot. And then on Xbox 360, or the compatible games with Xbox One, you're going to get Brave, the video game, you know, because that movie tie-in game's totally current. And then,
like, how many years ago did that movie come out?
And then Quantum Conundrum. And that'll be the second half of March, March 16th through the 31st. Honestly, having played Superhot, Superhot's awesome. Trials of the Blood Dragon's kind of, it's all right. It's a Trials game. Trials games are all right.
All right.
So check this out if you have gold.
Well, you know, once something is on the internet, it doesn't really go away. That's because of an Instagram post that actress Emily O'Brien made that said, quote, honored to be working aside these two fine lads on Hideo Kojima's new project, Death Stranding. I'm a lucky gal. And it was a poster that had Norman Reedus, which we already know is in the movie, Emily O'Brien, which we didn't know was in the movie, in the game. Sorry, I thought poster. My head immediately went to movie. Emily O'Brien, which we didn't know was in the game, but we do now. And Troy Baker.
Well, then that's an instant purchase because I buy all the games with Troy Baker in it.
What game isn't Troy Baker in these days? Sonic the Hedgehog.
Now.
So, confirmed, I suppose, thanks to Instagram, because, you know, even though she deleted the post, she probably feels terrible, but the reality is, once it's out there, it's out there. So it's confirmed that Emily O'Brien and Troy Baker are in the game, as well, of course, Mads Mikkelsen, which we know about before, and Guillermo del Toro as an actor, very distinctly possibly a Best Director Oscar-winning actor, and the races show him in the leads. I did love Shapeboy. See, I want to go.
Oh, so good.
I know. I want to go, like, I'm rooting for Greta Gerwig, but can I be mad if he wins? I really can't. Like, that's the thing about the Oscars and why I don't like the huge race that it turns into. Like, there's so many good people that, you know, and good movies. Mm-hmm. Like, out of the movies I've seen that have been nominated, none of them were bad. Well, so, yeah. They're all
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad if he won, because that movie was amazing and deserves it.
I mean, I would love for Greta Gerwig to win for the women power and, you know, seeing more women, you know, win those awards. But, you know, he made a hell of a movie. It's going to be hard. So, but I'll be happy if either one win.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow.
It's a privilege just to be nominated.
That's right. It's a privilege just to be nominated. Hey, the nominations are important, I think, you know. So anyway, also important is your music library, because I know it's what gets you through the day at work and why many of you listen to podcasts. Well, if you use Spotify or, of course, iTunes and, you know, other places that you can find music, you can now check out over 3,000 music tracks by Zuntata. That is the sound team who made Taito Games. So over 3,000 music tracks by Zuntata on Spotify. That would mean, you know, Bubble Bobble, Arkanoid, Darius, Ninja Warriors.
Arkanoid, boom, boom, boom.
Well, there was music boom in some of the later ones, but Groove Coaster. I know those games are very, not the like rhythm-based ones, but probably the ones that were on phones and stuff. So you can check out all those cool soundtracks all over Spotify. Very, very cool. Also on Amazon. That was the store I left out, so. All right, Dark Sakura, what do you have for us before we get to releases?
Japanese Splatfest, which is, I don't know how many people are familiar with the phrase Hanayori Dango. There were also anime and manga called that too. But it basically means dumplings over flowers, for people who are more practical versus people who are more aesthetic. So this, the Japanese Splatfest coming up is Hana, which is flour, versus Dango, which is dumplings. And they're delicious.
Yeah, Team Dango all the way.
See, as Sakura, I might have to go with Team Hana, just because. So that is going to be...
We won't get anything as classy here. We're going to get, like, team fart joke versus team boobs. Like, that's
team boobs.
That's what we'll get here in the States. We're not going to get anything as philosophical.
Well, but
team Jake Paul versus team Logan Paul.
Fuck all the way off.
But the thing, though, is, I mean, we do get things that are more specific to our culture show. So, whatever. You know, we should have, like...
Team chicken versus team egg. But I feel like they did that before. Like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? That's a saying you hear in our culture.
We should do, like, team carnivore versus team herbivore.
Oh, carnivore is going to have such an edge.
You know.
Team media. Team round earth versus flat earth.
Ew. No, because people with intelligence wouldn't want to even be associated with that type of obtuse stupidity.
Team flat earth versus teams vaccinations are harmful.
That's not even funny. That is not even funny.
I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. Well, if it's not funny, you better throw another story out there before I think of more.
Team Tide Pod versus Team Differently Colored Tide Pod.
There we go. Team Tide Pod. She's laughing. Whether she's trying to show it or not and rubbing her head, I see a smile underneath that when we said Tide Pod.
Just because I can't even right now. You know, we should have Team Llama versus Team Alpaca. What about that?
I'm sorry. I just love too much the whole, you know, philosophical dumpling or flour versus Team Tide Pod versus Team Broken Glass.
This is America, land of the stupid.
What's another, like, terrible eating trend thing? I mean, they've got a cinnamon challenge.
That's a good one.
That's not deadly, though, so we've got to have
no,
to
yes,
some...
it is.
Really?
It is.
Cinnamon's very thermogenic. Because
it blocks your... So people have died from it. Yeah. Okay. Team Cinnamon Challenge.
Now they just need cinnamon flavored Tide Pods and we're...
What if they did, like, Team Cinnamon versus Team Ice Bucket?
But Ice Bucket was for a good cause. See, that was the whole Lou Gehrig's disease awareness.
Things.
So that's
equally
hard to...
dumb things. Team Dab versus Team Plank? I don't know.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. Team Dab versus Team Plank. Anyway.
That's still stupid.
Betty White dabbed. So... automatically team dab. Anyway, can we move on, please?
So, there's going to be another Dungeons & Dragons movie. And it is being... actually, the rumor as who the director is would be Chris McKay. He is in negotiations for the Dungeons & Dragons movie. Which, first of all, Kroll was originally supposed to be a Dungeons & Dragons movie. And I saw that shit in the theater and it was great. And then they did a Dungeons & Dragons movie, and it was not great, but it was fun. And it had Tom Baker in it. So I love that movie because Tom Baker was in it.
That was the one from, like, the late 90s, right?
Early 2000s.
Was it? Okay, yeah, I remember.
No, maybe mid-2000s, but I just remembered I only cared to watch it because Tom Baker was in it.
Bobby Blackwell says Team Dungeon versus Team Dragon.
No, I got it. Hmm. Team Fantasy versus Team Sci-Fi.
They had to have done that one. I'm almost positive they did that one. Yeah. Or it was sci-fi and something. I know they did that.
Team Elf versus Team Orc.
Maybe. Anyway.
Team No Collusion versus Team Collusion. No, too topical.
Too topical. Too soon. All right. Let's travel. I'm sorry. Is there more? I'm sorry.
There was a little bit.
Go ahead.
But I forgot. So, yeah, let's go.
It's a Dungeons & Dragons movie, which already means we're a little afraid.
Which means I'll probably see it.
But if Tom Baker is in it, points.
Tom Baker, though, is getting on.
Well, Tom Baker was just in that Doctor Who thing not that long ago, right?
A year and a half ago?
Okay, it wasn't that long ago.
Maybe? 2 years ago?
All right. Anyway, let's move on. We're going to travel around the world and check out some upcoming releases. Loki, what's coming out in the U.S.?
It's like what's old is new again.
I'd like to be released.
So we've got The Blob 2 remastered, the remaster that nobody asked for. That's coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. We have Girls und Panzer Dream Tank Match. That sounds weird. I'm sure it involves anime girls and tanks. I can only imagine.
We'll say no more.
Is it a dating sim where I can date a tank? Because
let's hope.
That sounds like it could be.
Team Anime That's Babe versus Team 4. Tank.
Tank Girl, the anime series.
I would watch that.
Gravel on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Heroin Anthem Zero on PlayStation 4. And Payday 2 on Nintendo Switch. Then we have Darkest Dungeon on Xbox One. And 1 week from today, Death End Request on PlayStation 4.
Well, that sounds pleasant. Yeah. All right. Let's hop on a plane and go to Japan and check out the releases this week in Japan. Actually, I'm not seeing a lot this week in Japan. The only things I see is that there is a Dragon Ball FighterZ arcade stick that's coming out. So if you want to check that out. Also coming out in Japan, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege Advanced Edition. That is coming out in Japan this week. That's at least it on the PlayStation 4. There must be something. Is there something on the Switch this week that is the reason? Well, Doom gets its Japanese release this week. That's a pretty big deal. As well as Dragon Quest Builders gets its Japanese release this week as well. You know, that game came out on the Switch not that long ago over here. And then on the 3DS, Doraemon Nobita no Takara Jima comes out this week. So there it is. That's really it for the Japanese releases this week. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
A few things. On the 27th, we have Apocalypsis. Harry at the End of the World on Mac and PC, and De Blob 2 for Xbox One. On March 1st, we have Subsurface Circular for Switch. That's kind of a cool name. I'd name a band that.
All right. I think it's now time for us to dive into the mailbag.
It smells funny.
Dark Sakura is going to get on her skateboard in 720.
Is this Anthrax?
Right into the mailbag. And
this
find some
powder.
Emails. Every week, you guys can email us, participate@orangeloungeradio.com if you want to have your email read here on air or deleted on site. No, I'm just kidding. We don't. The only time we've ever not read emails was either like they were just mean, like they were like not nice. We don't read those. We were just pressed for time, which that does happen once in a while. Like the 1 week, like some weeks nobody will email us, and then 1 week we get 10
emails.
I'll make
up one. Dear Dark Sakura, mm-hmm. I love you forever. Here's $50 million. Why, thank you, stranger. I'll take it. No. This one's just labeled correction, so I don't know what the correction's about, but it comes from Robert M. Harmonix beats sports, which seems to me more related to Rhythm Heaven than to Wii Sports, is not an Apple TV exclusive. Well, not since its release on Switch. I really ought to check it out sometime. And that's from Robert M., already investing this week's VOG points from the podcast checking.
And don't forget to check in every week to spend your points on nothing, but it makes you look good. At VogNetwork.com. You can check in if you're live. You can check in while you're listening live. Or, of course, you can use a passphrase hidden somewhere in the episode to check in that way. As far as the email goes, yeah, it came up last week. I don't remember the discussion, but we were talking about Apple TV and like the limited games that were on it. And I mentioned the Harmonix game. I had no idea they ported that to Switch, actually. See, that's an example of a game that got lost amongst all those Switch releases, is I had no idea. Everybody's talking about, when it comes to Harmonix these days, everybody's talking about Drop Mix, right? You know who super got into Drop Mix? Is Shane. He has, like, every single card you can get. I think he might be missing one. Mm. But, yeah, like, but that game is a lot of fun, so.
Well, also, speaking of Shane, and from the same emailer, another email, just to add, kind of disappointing to see that Ranger Pride hasn't updated since July. Unless I'm missing something, you are. I would love to hear Shane's take on the Toy Fair announcement.
Well, funny you should send that email in, because probably the day after you sent that, Ranger Pride came back with a brand new episode. And they actually, they really explain why they've been gone for a few months. And it's very honest and kind of brave for them to be very blunt and upfront about what's going on. So check it out. Ranger fan or not, honestly. But they talk about some of the things that have been missed.
Another one that came through our website from Shash OG. Hey, OLR, so many characters is allowed when sending you an email. I typed what didn't seem to be that long of an email, a couple paragraphs at most, and it says it's too long to send. I'm trying to send from orangeloungeradio.com. Love the show, by the way. Just email us directly.
Yeah, honestly, I would say 10 times over, just send directly an email to participate at orangelaungeradio.com. The website is there to try to make the process easier, but obviously it's not. Also, I am well aware our website is extremely out of date. I mean, we're so thankful to Deekman and VXJasonXV, without who we wouldn't even have a website. And in Jason's case, we wouldn't have an intro every week. But the reality is, you know, that websites get old, and we know ours is growing mold. It's pretty old. Hey, I rhymed. We just need to give that whole stuff a kick in the butt.
Well, to bring a point to that, when I finish my current WordPress project, it can happen.
Awesome. Just be sure to team up with Mr. Jason, because without Jason, here's the thing. The podcast feed came in from an old PHP Nuke run website into the Joomla thing that is there now, into whatever you're going to build. The beauty is, like, it still fucking works, and I almost feel like Jason, like, wrote it from scratch at one point. So just make sure you work with him to not break the most important part of the site.
If I have time to make it happen in the next couple of months, because I'm still working on one for a charity I'm involved in. So,
but a new website would be rad. Yeah. Not going to lie.
So, last email.
Yep.
Hello, Alar. We know who this is.
Oh, boy. That sounds like a YYR email.
You are correct. I come to you with a couple of rebuttals from last week's Skype line segment. Yes, rebuttals. Also, I just made you say but.
No, go away. Bye, super multitasking. End of email.
Okay. You know what? I said cat butt at the start of the show, which is the best kind of butt that can exist. So, cat butts are the best butts.
Okay. I'm just going to leave it at that.
The first is for Kaijudo, who was talking about a game he felt could be the VR equivalent of Wii Sports. The problem is that, in at least my opinion, there will never be a VR equivalent of Wii Sports, for one simple reason. Wii Sports attracted people when they saw other people playing it and then thought, wow, that looks like fun. I want to try it. The simple and sad fact is that there's no way to get even an approximation of what a game is actually like in VR until you physically play it. This is, I think, one of the main things holding VR back from the mainstream. I really think that the best way for VR producers to combat this is to load up Dave and Buster's with VR experiences, but that's another discussion for another time. My second response is for ActDeft, who insisted that Super Smash Bros. Melee needs to die. Beyond the fact that it was a fantastic game when it was released in 2001, if you're looking for the reason Melee was and continues to be so popular, look no further than Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Brawl released in 2008. It brought new character stages and items and looked better than ever, but the core gameplay was changed quite a bit, mostly to appeal to casual players. Several changes were made to the physics to slow down the speed of the game, making it more accessible but lowering the intensity of the action. Also, elements of chance were added. I'm not sure if you remember, but characters could actually trip while running, render them temporarily helpless. This was actually 100% random, and most serious fighting game players would agree that the elements of luck do not belong in a skill-based game. Agreed, actually, that I agree with that. For these concerns, Super Smash Bros. Brawl was completely rejected by the fighting game community. So what did they do? They went back to Melee, of course. Other than the official Project M, which was a fan-made mod of Brawl to make it feel more like Melee, there was no version of Super Smash Bros. That was taken seriously by the tournament scene until Smash 4 released in 2014. By this point, folks had been playing Melee for 13 years, so they'd gotten very used to it. And guess what? While Smash 4 was a big improvement, many would argue that it still is not as fast or intense as Melee. With the exception of the mediocre character balance, Melee still holds up very well in 2018 as a competitive game, and that is why people still want to play it, watch it, and enjoy it in general. So, sorry? That's all I've got for this week. Now, excuse me while I continue to look for new Twitch videos of people playing challenge mode of super multitasking so I can laugh at them when they fail. Bobby Blackwolf may have been right. I guess I am a bit of a sadist after all, or perhaps more than a bit. Maybe. Happy gaming, Aaron YYR.
All right, so we have rebuttals to the rebuttal in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Kaijudo says, not correct. People can see you playing in the living room and watch the TV, so I call BS. It sounds like it would depend on which VR experiences. You guys might be thinking of two different VR experiences, whereas something like, I believe, Oculus Rift does not really let you do that. PlayStation VR.
It can.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, you can do that.
Oh. Well, I know PlayStation VR does. Like, you can do the VR thing and see what's on the TV, but I didn't think every VR headset let you do that.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, okay. Well, then I
stand corrected. And they even have some where it's more advanced, where you can actually set up virtual cameras, so you can actually put yourself in a green screen in the middle of the environment, and you can actually see yourself interacting like you were a character there.
But I do understand to some extent the point that Aaron's trying to make, where it's like, and because I was in the same boat, you don't get VR until you do VR. Right? Because, like, I didn't get VR until Bobby was like, hi, you're in my hometown. We're at a convention together. You're going to fucking play this. He didn't put it that way, but that's essentially what it was. And I did it, and I was like, all right, I understand why you are obsessed.com with VR. This is a lot of fun. This is great. So I kind of get that to an extent. But at the same time, you know, you could kind of say the same thing about Wii Sports even, is that it's one thing to watch Wii Sports, but then, like, when you kind of actually, like, get in there and do it, it's, like, different. So... I don't know. I'm Switzerland in this debate, but I appreciate the spirited argument. Also, we have a rebuttal to the rebuttal from ActDeft, who says, that's the thing, we have Smash 4. Brawl was awful for the competitive scene, but Smash 4 fixed all the problems Brawl had. So it sounds like ActDeft is kind of taking issue to the fact that we kind of glossed over the fact that we do have the Smash 4.
He brought up Smash 4, though.
Yeah.
And so the problem with Smash 4 is that it's still a little bit slower and doesn't have the same level of intensity.
Mm-hmm. But that's, to be fair, that's not quite the criticism the Brawl got in that. You know, I think it's a little slower is... I mean, I get, but again, I don't want to take sides. I appreciate all you gamers. I really do. So, but yeah, I get both sides. I do. All right. So I think that's that. I think that's it for the emails. Was that it? Last one?
That's it.
All right. You can send us an email too. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send us an email if you want to send that in a future week. But we have some more news to get to, starting with Loki.
Yes. So this is kind of a weird little game, but, you know, you may remember there was actually a Mario game that came out on the system as well, the Sharp X1 computer. So it was a game that's actually published and developed by Hudson Soft. This is Donkey Kong 3, The Great Counterattack, and it's definitely a lot different from most Donkey Kong games. You actually play this character named Stanley, and you're shooting... I guess a gun or something up at Donkey Kong, who is falling down holding some parachutes, and there's birds and stuff flying around you have to shoot as well, and the goal is to get Donkey Kong up to the top of the stage. And apparently this recently sold for, I guess, $415 on a Yahoo auction, which I forgot that even Yahoo auctions was a thing still. But apparently now there's some actual screenshots and video of the actual game as well. But it, yeah, there was, I remember there was a Mario game too that got released on there that was kind of different, that someone then later created in, Super Mario Brothers Special was the other one that they also released. That was on the PC AVI. So, interesting. I don't know. I watched the gameplay. Looks kind of boring, but... it's neat to find these unique games that we probably didn't even know existed.
Yeah, I honestly, as much as I appreciate the old computer history and stuff, like I totally forgot about this whole, like, Sharp had the license stuff, so I didn't even, like, when I first heard new Donkey Kong game was unearthed, I thought they finally got that music game that was originally, like, it's in some of the promo material for the Japanese Nintendo Entertainment System. Like, you know how there's Donkey Kong Jr. Math, right?
Yeah.
There was a Donkey Kong music game that showed up in some ads recently I've been seeing floating around Twitter. I thought that was the game they unearthed. And then when I actually kind of went into the article and read about it, I was like, oh, shit, I didn't even realize. So they just kind of recycled Donkey Kong 3's assets in another game, basically.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah. Because Donkey Kong 3 was so different. Like, I think it's one of the few YouTube videos I did some years ago was about Donkey Kong 3.
I don't think I ever played Donkey Kong 3.
It's just different because whereas Donkey Kong 1 and 2 are like platformers, Donkey Kong 3 is basically a shooter.
Yeah, that's what this is too. So I guess I didn't realize that was what the game was.
But
you keep shooting Donkey Kong in the testicles until he flies away.
That's exactly what it is. That's what you do in Donkey Kong 3. It's basically you're shooting him up the vine to try to get rid of him because he's a pest. And you're trying to shoot the other bugs too. And then that guy never showed up again. Stanley, the exterminator, whatever his name is, never showed up again. You would think he'd be perfect for Brawl.
New Smash Brothers character.
Well, I would think, or I say Brawl, but you know, Smash Brothers. You think he'd be a perfect like Smash Brothers character, like from deep from the archives?
No, they need to do like Captain Rainbow before they do that shit.
If they can do fucking Duck Hunt, they can do Stanley. That's my thought.
Did
anyway.
Did the Power Pad have any sort of like mascot characters or anything?
Not really, because both those games, the World Class Track Meet and
those are
the
all Konami,
they well Bandai or Bandai? Whoever did the Power Pad in the first place, like Stadium Events, you know, the very rare
the Power Glove. We'll just have the Power Glove as like.
But that also was not Nintendo. That was the third party peripheral. So they have to do well. I mean, it's not that they can't ever get third party stuff, but you know, it's harder when that comes into play. All right. Well, let's move on to talk about something that Sony has rolled out this week. For those of you that enjoy sharing your PlayStation stuff online, you can now share PlayStation profiles online. PlayStation has put user profiles on the web. If you go to the PlayStation website and use a tab in the upper right that says My PlayStation, you can see what a classic basically a classic PlayStation page would look like. There's a lot of white space in it. You can't really customize a lot online, but you can get a sense on, you know, your desktop or on your mobile what the profiles, you know, are going to look like on a PlayStation. You can only change the headers on an actual PlayStation and all of that stuff. But at least it's something. It's a little more minimalist than what is on the Xbox side of things, but I think some people think the Xbox website's a little cluttered, so it works. So we'll see how this develops as it gets refined and so forth. But I think that's kind of neat that PlayStation profiles are on the web. I don't know how many of you guys actually look at other people's profiles online on these types of websites. But once in a while, I go into like a Steam profile maybe. I leveled up on Steam today because all the 20XX streaming, I was able to make a new badge. So, fun. All right, let's move on to Darksakura.
Well, one of our, I'd say, favorite Twitters, the Kaz Hirai CEO, is going to discontinue the Twitter as of June 15th, so right after E3 this year. But the person doing it wants to go out with something important. So, and I'll just read what the quote says. Like the PlayStation Network, my Twitter account has provided a free online service to gamers for many years. But just like the PlayStation Network, I've decided to change that. Kaz Hirai CEO is moving to a free-to-read business model with microtransactions for charity. So basically, he hopes to collect £599 for Special Effect, which is a British group that helps people with physical conditions play video games that they might not otherwise be able to. So it's adaptive technology that helps people, you know, whether using customized controllers or letting people use eye movement tools. So, but already a day ago, he's raised about 37% of that goal.
Oh, that's great.
So, I'd say go ahead and join in, try to help out because it's for a good cause. And well, it'd be nice to see it go out with a bang.
Do you think this person's going to reveal themselves on the way out, who it is? I mean, I imagine the author is not somebody that is from a AAA gaming website or something. I imagine it's just somebody, you know, who's
I think
writer.
It's going to be like V.
Meaning?
It's not the name, it's the idea.
I see. All right.
The face or the person.
It won't be
the
like
idea.
The masked magician who reveals all the secrets and then finally reveals who they are in the end.
No, we've already got Penn and Teller for that.
All right, just a few more stories before we open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Let's get to it. Loki, I like this story that Loki's going to get into.
So, yeah, this is kind of cool. So there was a 14-year-old fan of the game Firewatch who was inspired after playing the game to kind of go visit some of these Firewatch towers. And so actually, you know, traveled quite a bit with his dad around the country, just, you know, says travel almost 1,200 miles. And finally, I guess one of their last trips, he found there was a watchtower that was in Wadley Mountain. And when they got there, they'd stay there quite late. And apparently, some of the other trips they were talking about, they'd, you know, basically just visit all these different places. Well, there's one actually in particular, though, that is kind of run down that they're looking at, you know, actually kind of helping bring this back. So I guess there's this, I didn't even realize that they have this whole associated, but the FFLA, basically they have this several chapters across both the North America and United States and Canada. And with that, they're talking about, like, I guess bringing back one of these towers, which honestly, compared to like the game, these are pretty basic. It's not like actually enclosed and nice like that. It's more of just like, you know, open air tower or whatever. But yeah, basically he's been inspired to try to help restore one of these towers.
That's pretty rad, though. I mean, you know, even if it isn't exactly like the game, that's pretty cool that the game kind of inspired, you know, we always hear such negativity about video games and so forth, and video games cause these horrific things to happen in the world, and I'm so sick of that narrative. It's really nice to hear that, oh, but video games also have inspired people to, like, get into history, you know, which is essentially what a lot of this, you know, with the fire towers and so forth is. Before, you know, we had satellites to do a lot of this.
Apparently, yeah, cool. There used to be a lot more of these towers, but, like, a lot of them have been just run down. They either have been burned by wildfires themselves or just been disassembled or whatever. And so kind of looking to kind of preserve some of these things are kind of neat.
Which is
so weird.
There
a
was more to the game,
to
too. The game wasn't really about the tower. I mean, it was, because it was kind of like your base of operations, but there was obviously a whole nother layer. I mean, I guess minor spoiler alert, but it's basically a how did this person die type of mystery type of thing is what the game basically boils down to. But, you know, it's cool that this kind of inspired somebody to, you know, maybe save one of these somewhere else.
Yeah.
Neat. All right. Kaijudo in chat at live.vognetwork.com says, kid needs a girlfriend bad. Don't be mean.
Just because you have a hobby doesn't mean you don't have girlfriends.
Yeah, would you say that to every Boy Scout out there or whatever, you know, youth? You know, people get into interesting causes and so forth. So, all right. I like this. At least it's doing good. Okay. One more thing before we get to the Skype line tonight at Orange Lounge Radio. And that has to do with a new Pokemon Go-esque type of game coming out. And this one is based on Ghostbusters. That's right. Ghostbusters World is coming. It's a collaborative effort between Sony Pictures Entertainment, Ghost Core, and publisher 433 Inc. You'll notice Niantic is not involved with this one, so it's different companies. Neither is the company behind Garfield Go. So it is not out yet. They just have a teaser trailer. I see Loki getting his phone, but no, it's not out yet.
No, I was just, my phone was starting to dig against my keys, and that's how the screen gets cracked.
There's a teaser trailer, but it really doesn't show any gameplay. But neither really did the Pokemon Go teaser trailer, and that didn't seem to stop that. So anyway, you're apparently in this game going to be able to catch specters, ghosts, and apparitions with your phone. It uses AR, so you see the ghosts over, you know, your usual things. So I'm assuming it isn't going to use, like, real-world landmarks, which is what, you know, Pokemon Go and Ingress do. Instead, it's going to use the world around you to be able to, you know, have the ghosts appear and so forth. So let's see. They don't say when it's coming out. But I guess in the next year or so, probably whenever Harry Potter Wizards Unite comes out, because we know that is coming and Niantic is involved.
Here's
that.
The bandwagon. Let's jump on it.
Might as well. How's Draconis Go doing these days? That was the real big knockoff. It's like the same fucking game, but with these different characters. All right.
It's Pokemon.
I'll still check it out. You know what? Pretty much any, like, AR-based phone game,
free.
I've checked it out.
You can try it out, delete it, whatever.
Exactly. Yes. I played Garfield Go for 2 minutes, and then I was like, garbage.
It's absolute shit.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call and say hello and talk about anything we've talked about tonight, or maybe there's something else you want to get into. While we wait to see if any calls come in, let me check in with Loki to see if there's any last-minute stories.
Yeah, so even though Metal Gear Survive is a big pile of shit, you may remember that Konami has some trouble thanking Kojima for some stuff. Well, the developers of the game hid some stuff in Metal Gear Survive to kind of pay homage to Kojima, including there is a list of some of the different combat units, and if you look at the initials of the last word in each one, it says KJP Forever, or Kojima Productions Forever, And then, of course, it has Yoda and Yuji at the bottom there, which are the designers of the Metal Gear Survive game, kind of, you know, paying homage to them. So good for them. And I know they sort of paid homage to, they said, you know, like credit to the, you know, Metal Gear team or something like that. But yeah, it kind of sucks, the whole situation. But it's neat to get that hidden in there. I wonder if someone's going to get in trouble now.
It's too late now. The game's out there and people have it.
Can you patch it out?
I guess.
Well, maybe.
That would be extreme. I would be, like, really surprised.
That'd be a big dick move.
That would be a very big dick move. But then again, so would be delisting PT completely. And here we are. So.
Oh, you know what? Also, let's talk about why Metal Gear Survive is shit. $10 a save slot in a game. $10 a save slot. You have one character slot. If you want to unlock the other three, $10 each one.
Oh
hey, you want
God.
More inventory slots? Those are going to cost you $3 to $5 each.
Is it a cell phone game?
No, it's an actual
Well, because it sounds like a cell phone game.
And then what else do they have? They also had, of course, you can buy boost packs to do different things in the game. So they have the normal microtransactions and then like additional
throw it in the
loadouts
trash.
Or whatever. Additional loadouts, I think, cost like $5 each as well. If you want loadout slots,
throw it in the trash. Well, JD,
absolute garbage.
JD with a counterpoint saying, to be fair, MMOs charge for character slots. I think EverQuest may have back in the day, but Final Fantasy XI did. I know Final Fantasy XI did charge for character slots. WoW doesn't.
Yeah.
WoW gives
with
you.
With that, though, and I understand, like, okay, you want to charge for that because of, like, server space or whatever, which is dumb. It's an excuse. But. This is a single-player game. Yes, I know they force online connectivity all the time, but it's mostly a single-player game.
Yeah. I appreciate the trying to find a reason why, but no. Konami's just being douches. All right. Guild Wars does this a lot. Guild Wars doesn't charge a monthly fee, so they pay for the servers in other ways, right?
And do they charge for their expansions, though?
They do charge for their expansions, but so does any other. Yeah. So does WoW, so does 14. Any of them do. So, anyway, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call. Akuma JP in chat says, Loki, don't you know how hard it is to make a memory slot?
I thought you would just take the first one and just kind of copy that.
JD points out, is this a one-time cost or recurring? It is a one-time $10 cost, right?
One time for each slot.
One time for each slot.
So $30.
Wow. Dungeon Buster says the Division from Ubisoft gives you 4 character slots for free. Destiny 2 gives you 3. Yeah, it's also just kind of dirty that it's 1 character slot for free. One. That's a little silly.
Well, they're assuming that you're going to want to replay through this game more than once anyways, which, no, I don't think so.
I have a feeling the phones...
That's assuming you're going to want to play through it once.
I have a feeling the phones aren't going to go off tonight. I don't know if that's... Celebrity Big Brother finale, or if that's the Olympic closing ceremony.
I thought Celebrity Big Brother was already over.
No, Big Brother ends tonight.
I was like, didn't Courtney Act already win that?
Oh no, Celebrity Big Brother US.
Okay.
The one that who's left? It's
I don't
Omarosa,
watch it, so
it's all this. Yeah, Omarosa's not going to win the whole thing. It's going to be, and I haven't watched. I said this weeks ago. I think Marissa was playing the best game out of anybody. So that
Who?
Would be my guess. Marissa Janae Winokur.
Who?
Oh, she won the Tony for Hairspray. She was Good Morning Baltimore. Tracy Turnblad. Is that her name?
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
If it's the new Hairspray, I didn't see it.
All right. Let's go to the Skype line where we have a call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
It's Ron. I hear you're not getting any calls tonight.
Yeah, well, you fixed it. Thank you so much. What's up, my friend?
Not much. I only called because I needed to correct you on something you said on last week's episode.
Oh, well, please. I live for getting corrected. What's
this
up?
Is episode rebuttal.
Okay. You know, just as much as you do, I love my 80s shows, my 90s shows. There are times I sit there and listen to the full theme to Growing Pains because it's friggin' awesome. But you talked about the Hogan family last week.
I did.
Yes. You said that was Valerie Bertinelli.
It was the other Valerie, wasn't it?
Valerie Harper.
God damn it. You're right. You're right. Why was I thinking that in the moment that it was Valerie Bertinelli? You're right. It was Valerie Harper.
Because you were talking about One Day at a Time.
drag me, expose me, cyberbully me.
You deny it.
What?
I will only drag you if you deny it and say that you're still correct.
No, I'm not going to deny it because you're absolutely right. It was Harper because the show was originally Valerie's Family, but the name Harper came into it somewhere. I should have known better.
It was called the Hogans. Then they changed it to the Hogan Family.
Yeah.
And it was kind of messed up how they wrote her off the show.
They did. Didn't they like kill her in a car crash or something?
No, she died from brain cancer.
Oh, that's... But so they just basically like killed her off screen, right?
Yeah.
Which is sad. Roto was a fun show. She was also in.
That's what you do to your difficult actresses, I guess. Well, at least back in the 80s, that's what they did. So, I mean, now if you tried to do that, how did they kill off what's her name on Grey's Anatomy? Well, I'm assuming they killed her off. Maybe they just moved her, but I never watched that show. What's her name? That actress that everybody says is difficult to work with. The blonde girl.
So her show was called Valerie.
Right.
Not the Harper Family or anything.
No, it was Valerie's Family, but she did have a show called Valerie.
Yeah, but that was when she had the salary dispute with NBC, so she was fired from that show.
I thought they had called the show Valerie's Family the whole time.
No, it was called Hogan.
It was renamed to Valerie's Family and then the Hogan Family.
Okay.
So they said that they just continued the... I'm checking the thing about the page. So, yeah. So that's what happened.
What is the name of that actress on Grey's Anatomy? Or she was on it. And, like, everybody in Hollywood says she's difficult to work with. And she left Grey's Anatomy to go have a movie career. And she's made nothing but stinkers. And I think she finally came back to television.
The one... The first girl that... Or she... Didn't she have cancer in the show or something?
So apparently this is a trope that they used to get rid of.
It was Valerie Bertinelli on One Day at a Time.
Catherine Heigl, that's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
But it was Valerie Bertinelli who was on One Day at a Time.
It was Valerie Bertinelli on One Day at a Time, and it was different Valeries. But in my mind, so many years had passed between the two, I didn't realize they were different. So I made a mistake. You corrected me. Whatever.
That's because we love you.
I know. At least you're not coming on here screaming at me, so I appreciate it. You're having a nice, calm, rational, you know, you made a boo-boo, and here's why.
And you need to sit down and watch One Day at a Time on Netflix. The reboot is really good.
Everybody is telling me that One Day at a Time on Netflix is great, and then with the exception of Loki, everybody's telling me that the new Queer Eye is fantastic.
It's not fantastic. It's all right. I'm not going to...
But most of my other people are like the new Queer Eye is amazing.
I'll take their word for it.
All right. Well, Rama.
And also the Joel McHale show.
Right, because he kind of replaced Chelsea Handler because Chelsea Handler's not there anymore.
It's just the soup. It's basically the soup.
But the soup was funny, so that's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
they don't have Mankini anymore. It's like One Piece Man or something. Because you know. Kind of what they had to do to get around the trademark.
I really wanted to like the Chelsea Handler show, and I did in the early episodes, but it kind of became a mess. Like, was it a sit-in-the-studio show? Was it a dinner party episode? Was it this? Like, the Chelsea show was just a mess, and I hated when they reduced it to once a week. It didn't make sense anymore. Anyway, sorry, I'm just going on a tangent, but I hate when I get invested in shows, and then they just, like, they fuck up.
Yep.
So, all right. Rama, I'm going to let you go to see if anyone else calls in, but thank you so much.
Hey, no problem. Sound like a plan. And take care. Have a good whatever Sunday and all of that, and drink the rest of the wine for me.
I will do that.
Happy
Bye.
Rebuttal.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Do you have any other last-minute stories to get to before we...
I sadly don't.
Oh, I thought there might have been a few others.
You know my favorite thing about the old Queer Eye, other than Carson Kressley? The soundtrack.
Yeah, the soundtrack was great.
I bought that soundtrack. We used it in spin class.
It was here. Back when we did that cage match on OLR, probably every track on that CD was in the cage match at some point.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, so long ago. How many episodes ago did we finally get rid of cage match? It was a while
ago. Fuck if I know.
It was...
I'm not a fan. I don't keep track of this shit.
It's on the wiki somewhere. I am not one of your fans. It's on the wiki, I'm sure. But it was we'd moved it to Afterbirth. Because when we started podcasting the entire show, we had to take the cage match out of the show because it didn't make sense. You can't have that in the podcast. Mm. So we had it in the Afterbirth, and then we finally got rid of that, or in the 400s, I feel like.
Every so often, you know, I'll listen to something and be like, that'll be fun in a cage match.
You know, we made a Tumblr for that and we never used it. We have like a F yeah cage match or something.
Yeah.
Because everything on Tumblr is fuck yeah this. I think there's F yeah cage match or something. We never used it. So you should, you're the Tumblr queen. You should fire that up and
I don't think it's actually a part of my Tumblr, but I might, maybe I'll remake it or something. I don't know.
Raginator in chat says, Rob Roberts, any chance the cage match will come back?
Not in your life.
Never, never say never, but never.
No.
There's no plans at this time. So, all right. Well, our phone lines aren't ringing up, so I guess we're going to close up shop. It's a little early tonight, but it was a slower news week, probably because of the Olympics and, you know, other stuff going on. Just not as much games news to get into, so we'll just wait until next week. But thank you guys for being here, and thank you for listening to the show and spending the last 2 hours with us. Not quite three tonight, but thank you guys for being here. Appreciate it. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, a nice 5-star review goes a very long way. So please leave us a nice 5-star review. Tell a friend or five about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we can only spread those voices if they're here to air. And then some folks in chat talking about Twitch streams. Yeah, Bobby Blackwell says bringing back the cage match means getting rid of the post-show Twitch stream. Yeah, essentially. Although I'm not always the best at doing the post-show Twitch streams, but somebody's been doing it lately, and that's really good. And then tonight we have a new podcast to play for you all right after the show, at least live on the Voice of Geeks Network. If you're listening on the podcast, you can go to vognetwork.com and listen whenever you want to our newest show, The Far Away Nearby. Anyway, that is it. Let's go around and get everybody's final thought. I'll start tonight. My final thought is I really should play some more Overwatch because I have completely missed out on that holiday event. I need to get some of my loot boxes in Overwatch. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I hope to play some more games this week.
Yes, please do. That's your homework assignment. Play a game.
Yep.
Or make a game. You choose.
I do want to do that. I've been just working on stuff for work because we have to switch systems, and my old macros that I wrote for terminal stuff doesn't work anymore because they're shutting it off.
Work is important.
It's not really. This isn't. This is kind of above and beyond stuff. So,
well, last but not least, Dark Sakura, your final thought.
I want a banana covered in chocolate.
Oh, I was going to say, I just saw Alan bring back bananas, if you want a banana.
No, I want, specifically, I want a banana covered in chocolate in the middle of Pinkberry.
Oh, well, that...
I've been to Pinkberry in an age.
I can help you with one of the three of those things.
They have the new Pink Beast chocolate. It's made with Ghirardelli. It's all right.
I haven't been to Pinkberry in a long time either.
I'm actually going to be going to hang out with Becky.
Now it's not yogurt lamb, but now there's a new one. Meat Menchie's? I think that's it. That's the one that Alan likes to go to now, and I like it too. So they have all the crazy.
Is it Menchie the dog from?
I might be saying it wrong, but I feel like that's the name of the place.
Call it Munchies.
Munchies. All right. Anyway,
that needs to be a fast food joint right there. Munchies.
That's Jack in the Box's specialty. All right. That's it. Good night, everybody. That's a show. We'll see you in 7 days. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.